Call this meeting to order. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ronald Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff, Justin Johnson, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Sharon Bono, Finance Director, Albert E. Chavez, Police Chief, Jack Ernest, Fire Chief, Cindy Moss, Personnel Director, Thomas Klimek, Public Works Director, Peg White, Library Director.
Thank you very much. Before we get started, I want to say that this is a very difficult budget, and I want to commend the City Manager, the Finance Director, and staff for putting this budget together under very difficult circumstances, and I will say it was a job well done. Item number one, presentation and discussion of the proposed tentative budget for fiscal year 2015-16 and possible directions to staff for changes to be made prior to formal approval. Mr. Justin Johnson, City Manager, and Sharon Buono, the Finance Director.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the Council, as you've already stated, this proved to be one of the more challenging budgets. I dare say in the history of BISB, as some has, at least in the last 20 years or so. Before we get started, I just wanted to walk you all through. Ashley had an opportunity to email you all a copy of the general fund summary for the month ending in April, but I'll just walk you all through it very, very briefly. In the area of taxes, on the revenue side, to date, we've collected as of April 30, we've collected $2,926,686, which is about 76.1% of budget. And I'll just state as of right now, we're about 83% of the year, into the year. And so when we throw out that 76.1% number, it just lets us know that we are at a deficit. Licenses and permits, and we're at 77,659, which is about 66.4% of a budget. Intergovernmental, 562,406, we're at 83.3%. Charges for services, 908,791, 71.4% of budget. Fines and forfeitures, $8,418. Miscellaneous, $111,592, and contributions and transfers, $262,489, 47.6% of budget for a total of $4,858,044. On the expenditure side, total budget, the staff has done a fantastic job. Department heads have absolutely been keyed in as it relates to our financial outlook and our financial picture, and worked very hard and diligently in trying to contain cost. I will just identify a couple of highlights specifically, as I've stated in the past. The areas where we've seen pretty significant increases are in the area of legal. We've exceeded that budget by 106.4% for a total of $54,430. And in the area of city managed trade, we're slightly up $45,747. And so overall, on the expenditure side, we're at $5,185,679, with a differential of $327,634. Okay? All right. So at this time, we'll go ahead and get started. Essentially, as I understand it, we went through a very similar process last year, and so I'm just pretty much going to walk you all through the budget, and if you all have any questions, concerns, issues, or whatnot, please feel free to stop us. Next slide, please. So, that's fine. All right, so I know this is a very difficult slide to see, and so I'll just point out very briefly what this shows is a tax revenue analysis over the last 6 years, and my apologies. And do you all have the presentation?
You can't see it.
Yeah, that's the one slide, so and my apologies. my apologies. All right, so for the last fiscal year 2014, The city budgeted $1,900,000, and in 14 we collected $1,930,000, $1,930,000, and the differential was $30,977. In 2015, we budgeted $2,025,000, and year to date we've collected $1,865,063. And so one of the challenges that we've experienced, and has been stated before, is last year we had a very good year in sales tax. And so some would say we overstated our revenues. But doing a basic trend analysis, I guess when the budget was prepared last year, looking at the trends and not knowing all the different variables in the landscape on the sales tax side, we did see quite a bit of an uptick. But as we know, some of the reclamation work that Freeport completed over the course of the year is done. We've had a couple of businesses, one of our largest retailers, Alco, went bankrupt, and so we don't have that those revenue sources at our disposal any longer. If we jump to the upper right-hand slide, what it shows is our sales tax numbers. And so in 2014, we budgeted $481,722. And we actually collected $486,000 for a differential of $4,000 on the positive side, $4,315. And in 2015, we budgeted $503,748. And we actually collected $498,520 for a differential. We actually saw somewhat of a loss of $5,228. In the bottom left-hand column, in 2014, an urban state shared revenues, we budgeted $621,974, and we collected $628,614 for a differential of $6,840 on the positive side. But in 2015, we did budget $674,849, and we've collected $674,849. So some positive news in that category. Now, on the vehicle license tax, in 2014, we budgeted $256,353, and the license tax collected $231,897, and we did see a differential on the negative side of $24,456. In 2015, we budgeted $271,935. However, we only collected $230,322 for a differential of $41,613 on the negative.
There is one thing that I would like to point out on this slide here. Those numbers are provided to us with the exception of the city sales tax by the state. So the state shared revenue is part of the budget proposal that I gave you. If you go down and you can look at it, it'll explain what those revenues are, and we use the numbers that they give us. Obviously, you can see by looking at the slide, some are right on and some are not. The other difference that I do want to point out with the city sales tax was that we had budgeted a half a year for the hopeful that the increase would go through. So that's the reason we went from 1.9 budget in the city sales tax to 2.25 was to account for that. So I just wanted to, but we didn't collect the whole year's worth. We're just starting, so hopefully we're more comfortable with the number next year.
Okay. Any questions so far? No? All right, next slide, please. All right. So general fund revenues, FY 2016 projected budget. On the city sales tax side, as you'll see in your packet, we budgeted $2,025,000. In FY16, we're budgeting $2,460,000 for a differential of $435,000. And again, that differential includes the 1% sales tax increase. In the area of bed tax, we saw a differential from what was budgeted, $121,000 with a differential of $29,000, and that too does account for the 1% sales tax increase. Under state sales tax, we budgeted $503,748. This year we that was last year's budget, and this year we budgeted $532,597 for a differential of $28,849. Vehicle license tax, 271 last year, and this year we budgeted $267,760 for a differential, which is on the negative $4,175. And lastly, property tax, $952,069, and this year we budgeted $974,847 with a differential of $22,778,000. So, and as we look at total revenues in the area of taxes, our differential on the positive side is $76,452. And so total budget for this year is that we're projecting is $4,356,204. And so from here on out, what I'll do is just kind of hit, as opposed to going line by line by line, I'll hit some of the highlights and give you all the totals in those in the respective line items. So under licenses and permits, on last year we budgeted $116,900. This year we budgeted $103,500 for a differential on the negative of $13,400. Intergovernmental, which is urban revenue sharing, last year we budgeted $674,849, and this year we're projecting $671,229 for a differential of on the negative $3,620. Under charges for services, we budgeted on last year $1,273,650. And this year we're budgeting $1,176,400, and which is a differential in the negative of $96,250,000.
All right. If I may make note of one thing, the ambulance fees projected revenues about $900,000. Is that correct?
Roughly, yes, sir. And so at the last financial statement, that was about $777,000, and so this includes our most current revenue projections.
So that's a substantial amount. That's good.
May I? But it's still $100,000 less than we projected for 2015.
Yes.
What's the change there?
Well, one of the things that I certainly want to point out is I talked to the chief about the interfacility transfer program, and it's broken down in a couple of categories as to the answer to your question why. In many respects, there are four different categories. Back-to-back transfers, which means an ambulance that's already on a transfer, we can't take that call. Medic training, there's only one individual that's in town that can handle a transfer. We need two. That's another reason why. Repairs and services, that's one of the big areas that we've seen quite a number of expenses over the course of the year. We've been down quite a few ambulances over the course of the year, which is part of the reason why we brought before you a couple of weeks ago, and which we'll be bringing back with some major tweaks, if you will, the idea of purchasing another ambulance going forward. And so that's really the main reason why. And so, but having that ambulance down over the course of several months has proved to be a challenge, so to speak.
I'd like to add to that, if I may. As of the end of April, we've only collected $676,000. So we're sitting at 67% of what we had projected. So I wasn't really comfortable without putting a million there, because I don't know that we're going to hit that mark. That's substantially lower. It could change, but, you know, we needed to be realistic with what that number is. And I think we've hit a million once or twice, you know, in the past years, but I think it would not be very prudent to just assume that we would hit that this year.
And you, as you'll hear at some point in the presentations over the course of today and possibly tomorrow, some ideas on trying to enhance our revenue in that particular area. Okay. All right. Next slide.
Expenses. Mayor and Council.
Generally speaking, throughout a number of our departments, The budget didn't change significantly. We did see a couple of decreases in some categories, and so here, and I'm just using my pointer just because I finally get to use one, and for the public, as we go through the budget, as you'll see here on the left side, on the left hand, upper left hand side, Mayor and Council. So I'll just hit what the department is. FY 2015 year end projections, budget, and the differential. And so, in your budget, quite frankly, there is no significant change. I mean, you got a differential of $733, but that's to be expected as it relates to some of the employee related expenses. And so, next slide, please. I'm sorry, I didn't say what that was. My apologies. And so, this year, we're projecting a budget of $38,144, a differential from year over year, an increase of $733. All right, next slide.
One quick note on the Mayor Council budget. The last item, operational expenses. There's $2,000 put in there, and I believe I had originally a few months ago talked to Ms. Buono and said added $1,000 to that particular operational expense for the Board of Mayors Conference. However, now I'm thinking that maybe we could possibly delete that. The last conference only had three mayors from the United States, only one from Mexico. So Council might want to think about that, and we may or may want, I know it's not a lot of money, but in another sense it is. So we may possibly take that $1,000 out. The other $1,000 for that is for mayor manager's luncheons. I think that's probably pretty important. It's probably more than what we need, but it could carry forward in future years. So my suggestion is possibly we could delete the Border Mayors Conference $1,000 out of that. Just a suggestion.
Thanks, sir. All right. The city manager's budget. Last year, we budgeted $121,102, and this year we're budgeting $121,860, and the differential year over year is $100. So no significant changes. Next slide. All right. Finance. On the personnel, on the part up here in the first section on the personnel cost, last year we budgeted $331,225. This year we're budgeting $325,033, which is actually $6,192 less than where we were on last year. No significant changes on the personnel side. We do have vacancy on the accounting side, and one of the ideas was having someone come in on a part-time basis and work closely and very diligently on the debt collection. And so, and Ms. Buono, she can certainly chime in and give you all any thoughts, insight, feedback on that idea. On the expenditure side, we're last year we budgeted $426,000. And this year, we're total budget $428,363,000 for an increase in $8,350. Now, one of the things I wanted to point out is under contract services, the yellow highlighted line, the state of Arizona has taken the initiative to pass some of the financial responsibility for audit services onto the cities. And so this coming year, we're expected to pay about $12,000 for audit services provided by the state, the Arizona Department of Revenue, which certainly comes at a surprise to us. But you know, it's mandatory that we do that. So it is what it is. All right. And so let's go on. All right, under City Clerk, no significant changes aside from the fact that we did see an approximate $10,000 decrease on last year. Our total budget for the City Clerk's office was $147,468. This year we're budgeting $133,405,000. With that, again, that decrease of $10,000 has more to do with waiving the insurance. And so all of the departments, you'll see a reduction as a result of the decision to transition to another healthcare carrier. And so you'll also see down in the bottom right-hand corner for the public, right here, and it's very hard to see, and I apologize, of that health insurance budget saving in the city clerk's office is $6,543. Pretty significant. All right.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
It also shows an election expense. It looks like it was decreased by $10,000.
Well, as of right now, we have no, thankfully, elections coming up. So that's not a cost we'll have to incur this year.
Right. Let me explain something about the budget health care. It's already in there. Mm-hmm. One of the things when I threw these slides together is I wanted the council to see how that change impacted each department. So it's not, the savings is not going to add up to 16 like it says. I'm just highlighting to you the savings that we received by changing the healthcare health insurance providers. That's how it impacted our budget.
It's just a decrease of $10,000 from last year to $15,000, whatever the reason is. Wouldn't that be the reason for the change in the cost?
Yes, the $10,000.
Yes,
part of it is the
election expenses as well as
the health care
insurance. Yes, ma'am. And I apologize, I didn't clarify that very well.
What is the procedure here? Are we discussing items? Are we getting a presentation and we come back and discuss items? What is the procedure?
Well, my take
we
is we go through each of the departments, the very aspects of the budget, and while we're on that particular subject matter, I've already done it a couple of times, ask a question, make a suggestion.
Well,
that would be my take.
I circle the same number here, and that is that we're not in an election year this year, mm-hmm. and to have $15,000 for elections would require a special election, which would be quite costly, and hopefully we're not anticipating doing that.
Well, we certainly aren't anticipating. I know Mrs. Coronado is not anticipating one as well, but just in case, it's there.
It could happen. It probably won't, but it could.
Excuse me, at the time that we were putting this together, the bag ban, whether or not that was going to go out to the voters, I think Ms. Coronado, we have election expenses coming, even if it's not an election, for the next year?
No, not for this next year, we don't, but this is in case we do have a special election.
Special election, recall, who knows? We just wanted to make sure there was a placeholder just in case. Unfortunately, if there are new elections, there's a pretty significant savings in that particular line item. And so, if there are any thoughts,
certainly if we had a special election, $15,000 probably is not enough to cover it.
This last year we had both a primary and general. We had both elections, and we were able to cut costs significantly by doing our own publicity pamphlet.
Correct.
So we would be able to probably cover a special election.
But in this case, you'd have to man the election or the voting polls and everything because it's not election. So, this would be much more expensive in an off year to hold a special election, more than $15,000.
So would you?
Well, as far as an election is concerned, it's probably not really up to the council. It's up to the public if we have a special election, so probably should be in there just in case.
So are you saying that
if it's not used, it's not used?
Hmm? Are you suggesting it needs to be increased?
Well, hopefully it's not going to happen, but
yeah.
We'd have to have a special election, and you'd have to man your own election
and so forth.
Yeah. That wouldn't be automatically done. It wouldn't be part of another election that we could piggyback onto.
Well, we do have a $100,000 contingency that's required to be in the budget. So I think if we found ourselves in that situation, we could apply the cost there. Hopefully it wouldn't be anything. We don't use our contingency on a regular basis. There's an expense in there this year. We'll talk about it a little when we get to it. And so that's our fallback plan is if we find all of a sudden that we have to run an election, then if the money's not budgeted there, then we can use the contingency dollars for that. Right now what I'm doing is we're going through with your suggestions, Council, is I'm making notes. So when we really start making the cuts and making the decisions, when you do, we'll look back at these places. You were talking about the luncheon. We're talking about the election expense and anything else that comes up along the way.
Okay. All right. Next slide. Community development. Okay. Total budget in FY15 projected in community development last year was $115,830. This year, we're budgeting $112,375, a difference of $3,550. And I just want to point out and keep in mind that this is also, in addition to our grant writer, we also budgeted an account for a portion of the salary for the part-time animal shelter coordinator position.
One quick note on the community development. I believe that the Bisbee Economic Forum is funded through this particular department. Is that true?
I thought that was the Visitor Center. What's the name of it?
My understanding it is in the community development.
You're talking about the economic. Oh, the economic outlook.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the $2,000 there. Last year, that's where the $10,000 was placed for the feasibility study that the council had wanted for the Copper Queen study, the senior care facility. That has been completed, therefore that has been removed, and it's back to the original budget of $2,000.
I had thought the Bisbee Economic Forum was substantially more expensive than what it is. It appears to me it's around $1,300, so I thought it was a lot more, and I was going to make a suggestion to possibly remove that. But I will let that stand since it's only about $1,300, is my understanding.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't remember the table. Ashley puts it on.
13 total.
13 total.
Okay. All right.
Certainly the recommendation that was submitted at our last council meeting by the iBisbee committee requests that the $10,000 be retained. And certainly I wish to include that. Have that included, and if necessary to take a straw vote, I'm willing to do that here right now if that's necessary. Certainly, I don't think in these difficult times that we can forego an initiative in terms of trying to grow our economy and growing our tax revenues. Certainly, as we've been reading in the newspaper, the Bisbee Review, the Sierra Vista Herald, who's been covering the Sierra Vista, city of Sierra Vista, they've gone through the same process. And it's interesting in terms of reading in the newspaper that the Sierra Vista has an economic development budget of $243,000. We have eliminated our community development, economic development director several years ago. They recently spent $86,000 for a consultant for a rebranding study that the iBisbee committee did basically in-house for a couple hundred dollars. So we're getting a huge bargain here in terms of a group of people who are working quite diligently to keep ourselves competitive. I would like to see that sum of money, again, included in the budget. And again, it would only be spent, as was the case with the assisted living study, with the approval of council. It would have to come before council to be approved and expended. But I think otherwise it just kind of conveys an attitude that, business-wise, we're just not open for business. We're doing nothing in terms of supporting a very active group of people, the iBisbee committee. So I feel strongly that $10,000 needs to be included there. And again, if we need to take a straw vote on that, I'm willing to do that here this evening. Also, just for public information, there's a number of one of the budget items that certainly has increased dramatically this year has been the animal shelter. And I think there's lots of interest in terms of the community on animal care. And it seems to me as I'm reading this, you help me here, but it appears that where is the...
Contract services.
Contract services of $15,000 for the animal shelter coordinator. We got utilities, $4,250. And animal shelter expenses, another line item, $15,000. You add all that together, we're looking at somewhere in the order of $35,000. Is that correct? for
there is some adjustments on the 15,000. I went in and had my accountant do an analysis on that. One of the things that, I do want to say is we transferred the building expenses were always there. They were just sitting in the police budget. So when they were moved out of the police department, it shows up here. So there is a cost associated with that. Also, the one of the things that is not that the city has not paid for is we got a couple grants. And all of our medical care has been funded by these grants, not by the city. The only thing that the city has funded at this point is euthanasias, because the grants are not for euthanasias. If we have to go forward with that, for whatever reason, that is paid for by the city. And we're still getting donations. You know, we can look at what we got for the animal shelter donations, but there is definitely a cost associated. The animal shelter administrator makes $250 a week, and she's responsible for 24/7 coverage of the shelter, either through her volunteers or through
our part-time coordinator.
When we get to the police department, Mr. Dunn, you'll see where, you know, we have a vacancy now. We've changed it from a full-time position to hopefully two part-time positions to help with that. So that's one of the ways that we're trying to minimize the cost there.
Animal control officer, yes.
Because that's another position that's related to this. Again,
No, it's fine, but there is a cost. There's a cost associated, absolutely.
I've met repeatedly with the animal care individuals in this community. I know they feel quite passionately about this, and again, I'm just raising this in terms of a piece of information, public information.
Absolutely.
We certainly have increased spending in this area significantly this past year, and certainly as we're having difficulty balancing our budget, this is one factor in that, and I certainly support what we're proposing here. This public does need to know that we are spending more or less $35,000 and probably more in terms of the animal shelter.
But the increased charges, expenses, are based on the personnel costs. Everything else is the same. Pretty much the same. It just was sitting in the police budget, not an hour. So you have your part-time employee, and you have the administrator. So it is, sir, about $35,000.
If I can back up just a little bit. Last year, $8,000 was put into this particular budget for a feasibility study and was spent. I'm not sure what the results of that were. This year, Mr. Dunn is proposing to add $10,000 more. What would that be for?
As I indicated, I presented the recommendations of the IBISB committee at our last council meeting in terms of which outlines the things that they're working on. And again, there's not a specific use at this point, but we're doing such things as hosting the Urban Land Institute. We're doing in negotiations with the U of A Tech Center. We just need to have funds that can be utilized in terms of we need to update our tourism webpage. We've talked about that repeatedly. Presentation was made to this body in terms of the proposals in terms of rebranding for tourism. There's an interesting article in today's paper about what tourists are responding to today, and certainly the Old West is no longer the appeal that it once was. And certainly the recommendations for the IBISB committee in terms of rebranding refocuses in terms of orienting us to a younger audience.
The ULI, Urban Land Institute, is getting $5,000 from Union Pacific Building America together.
Right.
To come down and do this particular thing. I'm not sure why we would be putting some of that $10,000 into that. Why would we do that?
Well, there are certainly the committee is taking money out of their own pocket to host a luncheon in terms of while those people are here. They're not asking for that. I am just requesting that these funds be there so that we're not having to go to contingency as opportunities arise. And again, the assisted living is an excellent example of how we were able to double our money. It certainly seems from my response from the community is there's a huge amount of interest. I mean, we're all as an aging community in terms of people continually are asking me, where are we in terms of progress on assisted living? It's an excellent example the city can accomplish with a little bit of investment, and certainly very small compared to what Sierra Vista and other communities are doing in the area of economic development.
Okay. I just have some problems with that $10,000 being put in there. We're dealing with an extremely difficult budget. And once again, we're moving into the area of that private-public partnership, which I've always believed should be somewhat separate. Normally, the public is paying for private enterprise. And so, I'm not a fan of that type of thing. So I do have some concerns about putting that $10,000 into this community development budget. So we'll have to work that out.
Well, so in the discussion we've had earlier, the question comes to, we talked a lot in the campaign about economic development and bringing more jobs here. The question is, well, what do we do? I mean, what is the role of city council? Are we just to sit, just to talk and go home? I mean, what role does the city have other than a public-private partnership in terms of encouraging activity to draw added employment and economic? We've had repeated decades here of declining population and declining tax revenues. Obviously, we need to be more proactive, and this committee, which has been functioning now almost 2 years, has been highly productive, and I would be very disappointed if this sum of money was not here. I certainly am ready to propose how we can save $10,000 elsewhere. And I would appreciate a straw vote if that's necessary. I mean, I think this is important. And
well, once again, I have no problem for the economic development. I think private enterprise is good to be proactive and encourage that. But I don't think it's in the public interest that the public purse funds it. That's pretty much my view. And I know $10,000 isn't a lot, but we are in an extremely, extremely difficult budget, as you well know. Anyway, that's my viewpoint. Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. When anybody, any type of person or private or public, is expressing interest in Bisbee, I think it's our duty as the body to encourage people to come down here if they're expressing interest. And I heard you a couple of times now state how you perceive public-private and your reticentness on going forward with this. So I guess I'm just asking, you know, how would you encourage somebody and pick, you know, not a hypothetical, but be specific in a target that you would shoot for that isn't here. How would you go about trying to get those folks interested in Bisbee?
Well, I think private business, especially on a corporate level, knows every single detail about almost every single community in America.
Do you know that?
Well, I think that makes sense, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Well, of course it does.
That needs to be asked.
Corporations do not come to communities and drop $5-10 million. Let's just try it out. They do a lot of their own studies. That's why I had the problem with the feasibility study. They should fund that themselves. Shouldn't be funded from the public. So, do I encourage economic development? Of course.
How?
But,
Mayor.
Councilmember Sullivan.
This past year at the Arizona Rural Economic Development Forum that I attended, I believe, were you there, Mr. Chesson? Well, the big emphasis and the big topic and basically the theme of the entire forum was this partnership, the public-private partnership, and they showed lots of examples across the country how that has really helped rural areas to rebuild during economic crisis times.
Well, let me just tell the public what that public-private partnership means. It means your tax money is going to go to private enterprise. That's exactly what it means.
How? How? How does it go to them?
The feasibility study.
That's a fee. So, okay. How else does it go to them?
Well, and like, my big objection was giving away assets of the city.
We haven't given anything away.
It's been talked about.
Another example, though.
It's been talked about.
I've been to the IBISBE
committee meetings. They talk about it.
We haven't given anything away.
Councilmember Hanson.
It's been talked about as an alternative. It has never been expressed that that's the way we're going to do. It was simply one of several alternatives. My concern is our revenues are going down. How are we going to build revenues if we do not get new businesses in here and new
encourage
people to come here and to work and to provide jobs.
Let's use Alcoa as an example. That was a corporate decision. Actually, it was on a national level. And if this community cannot support that, they are going to disappear. All that we could talk all day long to the Alcoa Corporation over in Texas, and that store would have not stayed open. Those are corporate decisions based on demographics, based on economics of the area. And if it does not support that, they will not come. Unless you're getting into private, public, private partnerships, then you're funding private enterprise. Through the public tax dollars.
How are we funding it, though? How are we funding it? Give me an example.
Councilmember Dunn wants to put $10,000 into that to help that.
In the event that we can host something, in the event that we can participate in something that might come down the pipe, that's anticipation. That's $15,000 in the event of a recall or a special election. That's money there in case. This is money that Doug Dunn is asking for in case somebody else asks, hey, I'd like to come down there. And I've heard that sometimes it's not a real nice welcome down there. You know, I am a private industry guy, but I'm interested in your town. So I would like to have, open arms and be specific. What are you looking at? Instead of just declining something out of hand. It's got the perception of it.
If people come down, I'm sure members of staff, members of council, members of various organizations inside the city would be quite accommodating and would go about and telling them and showing them why it might be in their interest to come here. But why do we have to fund it? That's the fundamental difference that we have. Mayor, I don't believe in having public-private partnerships. I'm just opposed to it.
Yeah, point of correction. You say that we were funding a feasibility study for private enterprise. That is not the case. As clearly explained, this was a study to indicate to us whether we had the demographics to approach an investor. Certainly any investor, if we do catch their interest, and we have a number of individuals who are very much interested in terms of assisted living facility here, they're going to do their own feasibility study, just as you indicated. But certainly you don't call somebody up on the phone and say, hey, I'm from this little funky community in called Bisbee, and we have a lot of old people here. Why don't you come down and build a nursing home? That's not how it's done. It's done by providing the very, what is the demographic? What's the feasibility in terms of catching their interest? It shows that we're a professional community, that we're investigating what our best options are. This is not a cold call. And certainly your comment about this is a feasibility study to benefit a specific private enterprise is not true.
Well, I'll take
for our benefits, our city benefit in terms of increasing our effectiveness in interacting with prospective investors.
Mr. Ben Pozes and BP Diversified is a private company. As a matter of fact, he has 19 of those LLCs. That went from the taxpayers' money right into BP Diversified's account. Direct taxpayer into private enterprise. What do we have to show for it? My belief is that if an assisted care facility wants to come to this community, they will do their own study and they will come here. That's what I believe that they can make money off of. It's all about money. But how does it transfer over to private enterprise? I just explained it. $16,000, $8,000 of the taxpayers' money went over to Mr. Ben Pozes and BP Diversified. And, of course, you know that it was already done before I took office. But I think it was a bad deal.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. Councilmember Connors.
More than 60% of that money that went to Pozes actually was paid to the professionals that he hired to do the work.
Nevertheless, it's private enterprise, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's accurate information. And wouldn't you rather have information to make a decision on instead of just shooting from the hip and hoping for something to fall out of the sky? We got to make our decisions based on data, Mayor, based on data and based on people's desire or willingness to invest in this community. And to not encourage that is really the disservice.
We're slightly getting off subject matter. I guess we could go into a debate of the value of that particular feasibility study, but I don't want to do that.
On tourism and economic development, we're talking about $10,000 that we want back in the budget. That if we could do a straw poll, you'd get an idea how it would go. Do you want to do it?
You know, I'm opposed to public money.
What are you for? We know what you're opposed to. What are you for?
Well, tonight I'm for balance, doing the best we can to get through this budget. That's what I'm for tonight. And $10,000 of the taxpayer money being diverted over to private enterprise is not what I'm into.
Point of order, please. Point of order. We get the point. I think we all understand.
We
understand. Let's move on.
Let's
we can come back at the end when we're done looking at everything and decide if we want to put that $10,000 in or not, because we need to see the whole budget before we make up any decisions. But I do have, if I may, a question separate from that on this same topic. As far as the animal shelter goes, I'm curious why it's in the community development budget. Why doesn't it have its own separate budget like the swimming pool or the library or the parks, just so it's a little more clear how much money is actually being devoted to that instead of community development, which I just don't think it really fits there.
I think there, you were here.
Yeah, basically what happened is the council voted and moved it. They changed the organizational chart, and they moved it from the police department to community development, and that was the department that was responsible for it. So at that point, we just put it into community development. If we want to, it's really not that big of a deal to add another, small budget. It's all based on the department numbers, and we'll just keep it close, but community development is responsible for it. One of the things that's interesting about the shelter and these expenses in this year, I believe I'm moving them over, is, let me look. Animal shelter is the only one that's responsible for their building that is in City Hall. Community development is considered to be in City Hall. So we group all of those expenses together. You have the library, you have the police department, and you have the fire department, and you have City Hall. So all of those expenses should just be in City Hall, just like we don't break out finance, we don't break out city clerk like that. When we're talking about our overhead, when we get to the AG&G budget, you'll see that. That's the reason that it's there. But we could break it out to make it a little more identifiable. I could even figure it out for you for this budget year.
Okay. I think that's a good idea myself, but thank you.
Go ahead. The motion's okay. Over.
That sounds good.
Okay. On to the next one. Oh, AG&G.
AG&G. Admin and General Government, or as we like to identify, Department for Overhead. Over the course of the year, we in FY 2015, we budgeted a total $783,331. In 2016, we're budgeting $1,488,698. And if we kind of just jump down to the highlighted categories. So here in green, where you have the line item, $44,000, health reimbursement account, as part of our discussion on last week and in changing our health insurance carrier, one of the ideas brought forth was to create a health reimbursement account, and here that $19,250 would be the equivalent of 38.5 employees, or 50% of our employees paying $500 per employee. So essentially, it's money that's set aside to establish a health reimbursement account. So if we jump down to the blue line, transfer bed tax to Fund 20, the visitor center. What that increase, that $29,000 increase, is transferring portion, well, the 1% sales tax money over to the visitor center of Fund 20.
The bed tax.
Absolutely. All right. Transfer down below the pink line, transfer 0.5% sales tax to wastewater. Is that mine?
Yes, what that is I believe in the year 2000, the voters passed, we passed an ordinance saying that we would dedicate 0.5% for sewer improvements, and this is where you see all this money come in. When you're looking at the general fund budget, all the money comes into the revenue, sales tax, and then from there the transfers are made. This is how they're transferred out of the general fund And then when we get to the other funds, you'll see where that money's transferred in. That 121 is the 1% bed tax increase that was approved. What I did when we got to 20, which we'll cover tonight, is I broke out that 1% from the 3.5, because our bed tax right now is 2.5. We added 1%. I broke it out into two line items in the budget when we get there, so everybody can see clearly how much that 1% has to be dedicated to promoting us as an overnight destination. I figured I'd break it out that way instead of everybody asking me all the time. And that, so it just makes it easier.
Okay. I just have one question.
Yes, sir.
Maybe he was going to explain it. The $35,000 transfer to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that is.
The $35,000, well, I'll jump right onto that. So let me just hit the darker green transfer to debt service. Those are your vehicle payments specifically on the police side for the Tahoes that were purchased several years ago, as well as the ambulance that we have one more payment to go. Transfers to streets, the gold line at $703,000, that's the projected 1% sales tax money where that where we're hoping we'll hit as of this year. Transfers to airport. At our last council meeting, we council approved the transfer of $300,000 to Safford for airport improvements. One of the things, I won't say we missed an opportunity, but we probably would have had an opportunity to do something at the airport this year. And so, but however, we didn't set us money just was not put in the budget last year to do anything. So this year, that $35,000 is setting aside essentially seed money for us to go ahead and move forward with doing. Specifically, I received an email from Marilyn Siebold this afternoon, and she sent an email to and spoke to some of the folks out at the airport and doing kind of a straw poll. And the discussion was, hey, look, do we move forward with installing a PAPI light system, or do we look forward to doing runway improvements? And the consensus was, hey, look, I think there's more value in us doing of us doing the runway improvements as opposed to the lighting system, because as I understand it, it's been years and years since that system has been in place. So that's what that is. That's seed money to make those necessary improvements. Yes, sir. And transfer to Bisbee Bus, essentially overhead costs associated with our bus program. All right.
So the sewer improvement money that you mentioned, the $350,000, that's actually going to pay off the new sewage treatment plant.
The debt
that we have, is that right? Or
no, it's not. It doesn't have anything to do. You'll see that in another place. This is the commitment that the citizens made to Bisbee. It was 0.5% of sales tax had to go into the sewer fund for sewer upgrades. So it doesn't reduce your debt. It's to make the sewers better. And when we get further into it, we'll show you where the debt service is. That wasn't the purpose of it. They wanted to dedicate solely to improvement. So that number is always a number based on our sales tax. It's, 0.5%.
Right. I'm just curious what those improvements are then. I don't see a lot of sewer construction going on. It's a lot of money. I'm just wondering where that money goes.
Well, it's actually in the sewer fund, and we'll go over the sewer fund. Sewer improvements can be many, many things. Mr. Climate can address that, but that could be as I'm not sure what they call those backflow problems that we clean up, those types of things. SSOs, thank you. Is that Dwayne? Yes. So any kind of repairs that they have to do to the lines.
Lines, lift stations, I know there's quite a few lift station repairs that had to be done this past year. We had two motors that went out this past year, one specifically when we had the storm event. And so those types of items. And now with that said, I know we've discussed making some additional improvements out of the sewer plant, and we've had a number of inspections by outside entities that I emailed out months ago that have come before us. And so items like that. So those are the types of things that you'll see.
Just a bit of a historical perspective on that. The voters, it's a tax, and the voters approved that 0.5 cent sales tax increase circa 2000 with over 90% approval on that, because the community knew they needed to redo that wastewater system. But it was done a long time ago. That's where that money comes from.
So I'm having mouth issues here.
All right. So next slide. I'm sorry.
No, we're good. Now we're forward. Personnel.
All right. I'm the personnel. As previously stated, I mean, no significant changes in FY 2015 budget, $74,250. This year's budget, $73,650. Differential of $390. Legal, we saw, as you all know, we saw an increase from $51,175.15. This upcoming budget, a $10,050 increase to $61,225. Now, water system, pretty basic. Last year we budgeted $6,600. This year, $5,600 in the water system. In the area of IT, now you will see a pretty significant increase in our IT budget. Last year we budgeted $73,204, and this year that increase will be $88,170. So a couple of items that hit us. One, we transferred a number of IT purchases line items, or dollars that were in specific line items in different departments, to consolidate them into one category. And Ashley has done one heck of a job in managing and maintaining our IT budget. And in that $32,000 budget under contract services, in the contract services line item,
correct,
what you'll see is the fees associated with our website redesign, our Cassell financial system, our annual maintenance agreement, OpenGov, the Affordable Care Act module for human resources to track said expenses, as well as the upgrades to our email system through ExecuTech. And so that's where all of those items are applied to in this particular cost center. Okay. Any questions?
Where does Sean Trackman's salary come into this budget?
Professional fees.
And that's
to that $25,000.
Okay. And how? Where does we? When he made his presentation to us at the last, I believe it was, council meeting on the audiovisual equipment for council chambers, where is that in this budget?
It's actually in the IT. I'm sorry. It's in the mayor and council's budget.
That's what you had indicated, but I didn't see that in that.
We actually call it the reserves. Let me go back, if you guys are patient for just 1 second. If you go back. And the reason I isolated it there, because I didn't want it to get lost. And when as I'm backing up, one of the things is Cassell, the cost for Cassell, which is your financial software, is $11,000 a year. So what we did is we just transferred everything into the IT budget so we could really get a feel. Okay. I don't see it in the expense here. Let me keep going.
Certainly, when we discussed this, it did say it was part of the city council budget, and I didn't see it here, or at least I didn't recognize it.
And, you know, that is very possible. I'm going to blame your city clerk. She was out for a couple weeks, and I probably just missed it. But if you go back, all the way back to the revenue, the contribution, and transfers, it says reserves, cable one agreement of 25. Actually, I did roll it. You're right, I did roll it. So that will be, we'll have to take a look at those numbers. Can we do that tomorrow, Ms. Coronado, and we'll come back. But I don't know how tight the, it actually is. So I apologize for that.
We'll make sure to include it in, and we'll bring that back to you all.
Yeah, I thought that tomorrow. I think we had indication, number one, that funding to bring that old, or in this case, I guess it will be a new old system, was funded somewhat by cable franchise fees. Is that correct, Ms. Coronado?
Correct.
Yeah, thank you. So for the public consumption that might be watching, these little tiny figures up here right now. You really don't know who we are, just some little dots sitting up here. The old camera system, if you're fairly new here in town, can zoom in and actually see who's talking. And as we had a little bit of a slightly emotional exchange a little bit ago, they could actually see that emotion in our faces and whatnot. So I think it's a good addition. I know I'm slightly getting off budget, but I think it's a very valuable thing to bring that back. So it'll create more interesting council sessions when you have a stationary camera. When the camera's not moving, people have a tendency to get bored and they'll flip that station. But if the camera's moving around and you can see people in what they're saying and all their emotion and passion, they will have a tendency to, and in color as well, they will also watch that longer and perhaps be more participatory in municipal affairs, my take.
Just clarification further on this. No. We were talking at that
I
time about...
I answered my own question.
Pardon me. Pardon me, sir.
Councilmember Dowdy? Okay. Pardon
me. No, sir, I answered my own question.
Okay. Councilmember Dunn.
We were, it's true, talking about more or less $2,500 for equipment. Mm-hmm. Is that what was being proposed? And there's never been a budget in terms of personnel, correct?
No.
To accompany that?
Yeah, never.
No.
So those would be two costs that need to be included somewhere for our review then.
Okay.
Councilmember Sullivan.
Mr. Johnson, what about the Mind Mixer platform? Would that be shown in this category?
It certainly could, or we could, if push came to shove. I just didn't get consensus on that, so this is certainly the right opportunity to get consensus from the council that we wanted to move forward with.
During the pre-budget, when we had that, I don't remember what we called it,
the strategic planning session,
we didn't really talk about it much because you pretty much said, oh, I'm already on that. Mm-hmm. So it kind of just, we sort of moved right past when you said that. So I was expecting it to see it in the budget.
I mean, you can certainly, we'll find the money.
Okay. I believe it was $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the community participation and engagement, it is a really excellent module for that.
No, and what was the other, the free one? Because there was one that was free.
Was it Constant Contact? Or
no,
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, the same
Gov, something Gov.
Yeah, the same company that promotes, serves, facilitates whatever case created Mind Mixer. There's also a free option, if you will, that we could explore. So, but you know, the $2,500, we can certainly identify where to pull that money from. All right, next slide. All right. So for the next department we're going to hit is police. I really have to commend both of our public safety department heads and the level of effort that they placed in trying to be a part of the solution. I know when we had our conversations with them, specifically speaking on the PSPRS increases, they really came to the table and tried to identify ways in which we can save some money. And I'll just go ahead and hit some of the highlights here. In the salaries line item, what you'll see, last year we budgeted $772,224. This year we're budgeting $664,768.
Wow.
A reduction of $107,456. And so, we're looking at freezing positions, looking at utilizing more part-time help in some areas, reducing the number of part-time hours that some of our employees are working. So I really just want to commend the chief for working hard.
I just want to comment on this. That is a significant cut. When we are, we are basically on two officer shifts currently. And I certainly had a question in terms of how will this be done. I mean, I commend you for taking this initiative here. I was certainly wanting more information in terms of how that would actually be implemented and still maintain the level of service and security that we now receive.
Certainly. Well, the biggest area that you'll see is we had, as you know, we had a vacancy in the chief's position, so that additional layer with having the interim chief is not there. We also had a reserve officer in the budget. I believe it was about $20,000 that he was accounted for, as well as our yard custodian, our impound lot custodian, reducing the number of hours associated with those particular items. And so once you account for the employee, the salaries plus the employee EREs, employee-related expenses, you're absolutely going to see quite a substantial savings in that particular line item.
The animal control position.
Oh, and the two part-time animal control
officers. So it won't change the number of officers on a particular shift then, and generally still have that.
It doesn't. You know, the level of service, generally speaking, is maintained simply because, and to be quite candid with you, it's because the chiefs and the sergeants working are, quite frankly, wearing two hats. And so the chief is not... is not one to shy away from responding to calls. And so how do we accomplish that? All hands on deck. And the chief has continued to provide the level of service as best as he can. Now, one of the things that we'll see is utilizing the part-time services of our records clerk and trying to balance those to get a higher level of efforts from the records clerk to make sure the chief isn't dedicated to just doing records, when quite frankly there are much higher responsible things that he needs to be doing or working on or even responding to calls.
Well, Chief Achevi is not here, but I'd like to commend him for that initiative.
Oh, yeah, I saw him. Good job.
He's undercover right now. just a few comments, and I would commend the chief for significantly reducing that particular cost. However, it appears to me there's a certain sacrifice to the community, and that'll be less police protection. I'm curious about the animal control officer. How much did that contribute to that approximately $110,000 reduction? And is that position going to be filled? I think it's advertised.
It's advertised, yeah. Advertised for two part-time positions. And so I think we were looking at about... No.
Yeah, go ahead, Chief Javi, if you'd like to address the issue. Because he's the one that worked out all of these numbers. These were...
He did a good job.
Thank you. You know, and brought it back to us, so...
Mayor, Council, staff, we're in a position now where everybody understands the financial situation that the city's in, and we all keep Bisbee to heart. We're most of us are from Bisbee. You know, we have a vested interest in this community. Nobody wants to see the city in a bad way. We have guys who are stepping up and doing a little extra to get the job done. We've been able to rework the schedule a little bit, so we're still providing the same amount of service as far as two officers on duty at any given time. We're still maintaining that. We've just sometimes myself and Sergeant Coronado, instead of being in the office working on office stuff, sometimes we have to be those officers outside responding to calls as well. And we've been able to take care of that. As far as the animal patrol officer position goes, I really feel two part-time positions serves the city better than one full-time position. And the reason being is whenever the animal patrol officer would go on vacation for a week or 2 weeks, we would have no coverage for animal patrol whatsoever. This way, if we get to a point where we have two part-timers, they can work opposite each other. And if one is on vacation for a little while, we can still utilize the other one. In his place. So that's something that I'm kind of happy about. I know my patrolmen are happy about, and we'll be happy about when we get somebody in that position, because right now they're the ones responding to those barking dog calls and things like that. So it's an added burden upon their backs. But I think that once we get that all worked out, I think it's going to work out pretty good.
Okay. One other slight point. I don't think we got very much for a Stone Garden to play overtime for the officers. I think it was a very small amount, but that also assists in the patrolling of the community, because they can leave the Stone Garden program and respond to a Bisbee call emergency of some sort. You want to expound upon that?
Yes,
just
correct.
A little bit. Will that certainly help?
Yes, the Stone Garden is on a voluntary basis. The officers can sign up for that as they seem fit, not to exceed 16 hours a week, as discussed at previous meetings. They can sign up for those times. There are parameters that they have to abide by. But in the event that there is on a Friday night, if we have an officer working Stone Garden and there is a disturbance call in the old Bisbee area, and those two officers have to respond to that. If a second call comes in for a different type of problem in Warren or in San Jose, now that Stone Garden officer can come and respond to that. And it doesn't take away from the initial call, the more serious call that those other two officers are on.
Yeah.
So it really allows us to have more coverage, better backup. Sometimes you have two officers handling two separate calls, and one does need help. That Stone Garden officer is there to go and assist whichever one needs help.
Thank you. Yes, I've always believed that the number one obligation of American Council is the safety and protection of the community. And I will say, in the policing area, we're in good hands with you, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor.
Councilmember Dunn.
Also on Stone Garden, there's a zero in terms of the 2016 budget in terms of Stone Garden. Is that what I see? Is that we don't anticipate additional funding?
Not at this point. You're going to see that when we get to the special funds where we're budgeting out. You can't budget a negative, okay, in here. So all of the payroll reports, everything that's done, everything hits the main account. That's how you tie it out, how you issue your W-2s, everything. And then we move things around. So you will see that they budgeted, I believe it was $50,000 for Stone Garden, and you will see that in the special police funds. Now, when you're looking here and you're seeing that negative for reimbursed overtime, that's the portion that's come back to us, and it's just about $50,000.
Right.
That's how it impacts, because I have to tie the reports out. But I'd love to budget negatives, but, you know, my auditors take one look at that and ask me why.
Right. Staying on the personnel costs in police, one of the things that we certainly are well aware of is the public safety retirement system increase. Last year we budgeted $418,498, and this year we're budgeting $604,007, an increase of $185,509, or a 45.5% increase year over year.
Excuse me, Mayor?
Sorry. Councilmember
Connors. Did you say year after year?
No, year over year, from last year.
Is that going to jump like that until we're done?
Quite frankly, it's possible. I mean, you have, you know, the cost of living increases. Mm-hmm. You have the Hall case that was presented a couple of months ago by the chair of the task force a couple of months ago. And so, quite frankly, I really do think that it behooves all of us to really think and consider the reality that we will continue to see those increases.
Not necessarily a bad thing, because no. I mean, it's a cost of doing business. Pensions,
yeah.
And that's what we need to be doing.
So. Yeah, and that's what it is. It's a cost of doing business, and
right.
So, and that's what we.
And the reason we're doing it now is because it wasn't done before.
I'm
not talking about how it was exacerbated. I'm just talking about the process that, you know, deferring, you know, unfunding, how we can not necessarily fund something right today. We can do it, you know, it's deferring it to another time. So this is fantastic that we're chipping away in the huge amounts that we are. It hurts, but it's fantastic that these guys can feel better as the city council and mayor, like you just said, public safety, in being paid for what they've already done. And I'm happy that that's being done. And it's too bad that it's felt as stringently as it is today. But it makes me feel better about going forward with how we do business and being more accountable for what happens today, and not deferring as much as we have in the past to the next council. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor.
Ms. Bono, this massive increase this year, what is it, about $420,000 with both departments?
About half and half.
This was a result of the COLAs not being paid for, I don't know, some years, and the court said, yes, the COLAs had to be paid. Is that correct? And that's why we got this massive increase?
That's one of the reasons. Also, you know, I've been attending the pension reform meetings, the task force. That's one of the reasons. They're currently rewriting it. It's going to, at your major conferences in the coming year, if you please try and attend, they're going to roll out the new plan that has been written by pretty much city peers and county peers, finance directors, human resource directors, county city managers. It's just this amazing group of people that think of everything. Basically, what happened is they calculated the PBI's permanent benefit increases incorrectly. There are actuarials that sets our rates every year. They made some pretty big mistakes, too, in the past.
May I interrupt?
Certainly.
But we have a certain amount of responsibility to monitor that stuff ourselves, right? And
no,
not to
we
just take.
No, we don't have control over
no,
it.
No, we
all.
Don't.
No.
To see what happened. I mean, just to see what's going on.
Right.
Instead of just getting a bill.
No, they set the rates based on the actuarials does it. The way that the PSPRS is set up, every single plan is itself. They have 256
right.
of them.
Right, I heard that.
So the actuarials come in and they look at it and they do this projection. Well, they did projections wrong for a long time. The oversight on the PSPRS was lacking in some areas, and they're looking at doing the reform now to put some controls in place to make sure things were covered. So basically what they did is they went and they found that when they were audited, they audited the audit, okay, at PSPRS, and the second auditor said, your numbers are way off. So then they reallocated the numbers, and that's where we find ourselves today.
But it doesn't diminish the fact, I mean, every single one of those dollars we owe, though. I mean,
regardless of
who wasn't watching it or oversight.
On the way that they set the calculations.
Right.
And
Councilman McConnell, quite frankly, will continue, to owe it. And so even if a new plan is written and it's approved and the state legislature says, hey, look, we'll agree to it, the folks that are on the current plan will still have to continue to pay that obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've got. And so, to your question, hey, do we have some responsibility in continuously monitoring what's going on? And to a point, I would say yes. And so that's why I've asked Ms. Buono and as well as Ms. Moss, our personnel director, to attend those meetings and again, have a seat at the table so that they can be a part of the conversation and a part of the process. And I would dare say that BSBY, quite frankly, has the most skin in the game, considering what our pension obligations are. So,
and we have a very, very high number. When you see the next couple slides on the ratio of our public safety expenses to our general fund budget, and if the Hall case, if we lose the Hall case, but I mean we employers, if they overturn that, we will see another rise in our increases. They decided that the unions or challenged the fact that the increase went from, they used to pay 7% matching, went to 10. So it's being challenged in court, and once that decision is made, we'll be at the same rates that we have if it's not overturned. But if it's overturned, we have to go back, and not the and we have to pay back the 3% for this period of time. So they expect the numbers to change. The pension reform, and we can get them, invite them back to talk to you, task force. They don't want to fight. There's no changes to the prior pension because we're not going to win. Okay, so we just need to set it forth going forward. They have wonderful ideas. They want to model after the ASRS to a degree. That this year, and we probably won't notice it a lot, but our rates went down just a little for the first time in however. So ARS is obviously doing something right that PSPRS can learn from. So, but until then, it is what it is, and we as a city have to pay our pensions.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Mayor,
Councilman.
I guess likewise, interesting observation. It seemed to me like the amount of increase was actually less than the $420,000 that was tossed around earlier and what was voiced in terms of the workshop that we had by the task force. It seemed like our numbers are actually somewhat lower.
There's a couple things that impact that. When our retired chief, Raina, was in the drop program, when you're in the drop program, the employer does not pay the retirement portion of that. So that would increase us. Now that when we put the vacant position for the chief into the budget again, it went, I call it two for one. The pension rate is 94%. So you're basically paying two officers and you're getting one. So that, when we removed that, that caused it to go down. Then when you remove the reserve, that also caused it to go down. The, go ahead. Yes, sir.
Hey, when you say the, you know, when you drop, you don't pay his pension?
No, yeah, he's technically retired already, and he's working, he's putting those dollars and putting it into his retirement account. Employers do not have to pay the matching contribution when they're in drop. They're already retired. They're just working 5 years longer and getting a decent interest rate.
Just the...
That's a come at the end.
But does that compound the, you know, the 5 years that we haven't put, are we going to have to, is it going to increase? I mean,
No, because that wasn't part of it. He can't use that as his base because technically he's legally retired. Okay, so he's pulling his pension as of day one for 5 years, but it's going into, his pension is going into an account that's earning some incredible amount of interest that doesn't exist anymore, I guess. And so we don't have to match that. As a practice, that was one of the things that the pension reform had told us, is you should just pay those dollars anyway. Even though you don't have to, you should, because it helps bring down your liability overall. But we're not really in that type of situation that we could afford to do that. Last year we were, we budgeted $230,000 in reserves. If we would have had to budget for the pension for the chief that we know he's not going to use, it would have raised your reserves up to $300,000. That's just the way it works.
And as it stands right now, if I'm not mistaken, we have two officers that are currently in the old drop program. Is it 201?
That's already retired?
Yeah,
Chief Charlie.
We had that are retired now. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I understand your question.
Current officers that are right now in the drop.
No, we don't have anybody in the drop for the police department. We've had Ben Rayner retired from the drop. Ed Hawley retired from the drop, and Margie Swan retired from the drop after a few months. She didn't stay in the program very long. She got another job and left. So. The max you can stay, if you opt to go into the drop through retirement, the max you're supposed to be allowed to stay is 5 years. And so that's why Chief Reyna, come March 1st, had to retire, because that was the end of his 5 years. So that whole time, he was collecting his pension in a high-interest account through the pension fund. And when he retired, the drop program pays you that lump sum, and then he collects his retirement. The city doesn't have to pay towards his retirement at that time. That's the benefit for the city, or that's how it was sold to the cities, why it was such a good plan, because you get a cop for 5 years, it's not going to cost you anything, when in reality, we're finding years later down the road that it did cost us, and it would have been better for us if we would have continued to pay for that. So.
And I think, Mr. Johnson, Captain Delk in the fire department was the other one that was on drop that went out in December.
My estimate, 75%. If not more, of the budget difficulties that staff had to deal with is based on the increase in the PSPRS. Is that fairly accurate?
Absolutely. So we, the pension cost increase for PSPRS is about $400,000, and we did not receive a $400,000 revenue increase in anything. So the budget from the reserve is huge. So... Mr. Johnson, when we get to that point, I think we should try to carry through a little bit further, get at least through the operating budget and the visitor center, and then, you know, we can talk about that. There's information that you really need to have tonight. You've gotten copies of it up there, but there's some really tough decisions and recommendations that staff is making to you that we'll need to come back tomorrow. You know, think about it overnight, think about it during the day, and then give us direction at that time. So are we ready for the next slide? Thank you. So it makes it easy.
All right, and just graphically to depict what that increase is, that $604,000, you know, as we've seen over the last 5 years, the scary part is just the rate at which our police department contribution costs have increased, but you know, as we know, there's quite frankly, that's the number, and that's just what it is. So that's a lot.
Okay. This is
the expenses. On the expense side, FY15, we budgeted $1,934,223. This year's budget, $1,942,404, a differential of, on the positive side, $8,181. Now, keep in mind, the chief did realize a significant amount of savings cuts, if you will. That number would have been significantly higher had he not been very proactive in trying to bring that number down.
Right, so the cost of a police chief, it's positions listed in here, but it is vacant. The cost for a police chief, we were thinking to the budget would be $200,000 if the council decided to add that position back in and wanted to fund it.
Quite frankly,
200K?
Yep. And that's with a modest cost of a police chief. I think we did it, 75 or 76. Okay. I'm going to go back to that one.
All right. And what my slide here just essentially just depicts, just again to graphically demonstrate what the percentage of our PSPS contributions are as it relates to total budget. And so as you can see here, our police budget is, again, the PSPRS contribution is 7% of our total budget. So I really just want you all to, and the community really graphically be able to see exactly what that number looks like as it relates to total budget. All right, next slide, please. All right, so let's jump down to fire. Again, the chief did a good job in maintaining his budget, trying to keep things on track as best as he could. What you'll see here under salaries, you'll see a reduction from under that very first line item, $723,723. This year we're budgeting $696,414, a differential on the negative side, $27,309,000. As we jump down to our PSPRS contribution, last year we budgeted $584,583. This year we're budgeting $728,070. The differential from last year is $143,487, an increase of 32.5%. As we go down in the personnel costs, generally speaking, we saw slight reductions in all categories as it relates to freezing some positions, as well as the decrease in the costs associated with our health insurance. All right, next slide. Is that all right? Here again, another chart to graphically demonstrate not only the rate at which we've seen that increase shoot up, but also the amount. Again, that $728,000 number is relatively significant. Next slide, please. And again, that on the fire side, it's 8% of our total budget. All right. And so, just as a frame of reference, because a number of folks that have asked, what's public safety's on the expense side of our total budget? Well, what does it look like? And so, on the fire side, the fire department is 18%, accounts for 18% of our total budget, and police accounts for 17% of our total budgets.
I do have something to add here. I actually think that number is a little bit higher. If you look at our total budget number, that was increased by the sales tax increase. Okay, so that made that.
Yeah, that's
7 million. So it was increased by the sales tax increase in both bed tax and in. But that money is dedicated to visitor centers into the streets. So we don't really have access to that $1 million. I didn't want to change it there because I know it's real important that these numbers tie out to what the budget that I presented to you. But I think you could knock off $1 million of that and get a true feeling of how much public safety is.
All right. And so essentially what you see here on this particular slide is not a significant increase. Well, I'll take that back. So FY 2015, our budget is $1,954.78. This year we're budgeting $2,035,670, a differential of $81,592.
Next one. We just lived that slide, so.
Yeah. It's
okay.
We'll go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Let me go to Councilmember Dowdy first. We'll come over.
I have a budget or a report here from Frye Fire Department, who does our billing, and this is for ending 2014. And it is $772,694.82. And this is for the inter-facility transfers. And that's how much we make on it. Of course, well, this is how much we have charged for it, and our personnel comes out of that, but we do make money on it. Chief Ernest could probably tell you more about it, but you know, this is proof of the pudding.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Councilmember Dunn, did you have a comment?
Yes. Chief Ernest's salary or contract, where is it? Appear here. I don't.
It's under professional fees here. It's on the line item is $31,000. You can see it.
Okay, I was going to ask you, what's that professional fees? Now I got an answer. Okay.
Yeah, that's what that is. Oh, and I will point out, I'm sorry, I made a note here. At the very last line item, 99017, the transfer grant match, that's something that was in the budget on last year. We applied for a FEMA grant, and so we've been consistently applying year after year, and so we haven't been awarded yet, but that too is seed money that, or the match associated with that particular grant program. So.
Also, capital expenditures is a zero there, so we have not budgeted in a new ambulance. Is that correct, or
It's budgeted in a different line item? Actually, what I mentioned. Over in the admin and general government proposed budget, one of the earlier slides where we had the transfers to debt service, that's where that particular
item. But you'd indicate that was for
the debt, the actual debt. Okay, so I budgeted the debt in case you've got the council decided to purchase an ambulance, but I didn't actually do the ambulance until, because that would be a capital project at the end, a capital item, until we had some decision on it. I didn't put that in the budget because it wasn't approved. But I put a little bit of debt in there in case it was.
Because when we reviewed that, you indicated that was our last payment on the existing
And in the event that Mayor and Council approves the acquisition of a new ambulance, when that debt drops off, then we pick up the debt on the new piece of equipment. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially just rolling.
It's just basically rolling forward until we get some really solid feedback. I know that they've looked at a number of things, and he'll talk about that when he talks about some of the others. You know, is it new? Is it smaller? I mean, the price has changed. We've worked on that, so we can put that in the capital budget because it is a capital item, but I went ahead and budgeted for the debt in case we decided to do that. Debt is only there in case you need it. It doesn't have to offset against the capital project.
Councilmember Dunn is seeing.
Any other questions from the council? Go ahead.
Okay. All right, under city magistrate proposed budget.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just have two comments. My apologies.
Yes, sir.
For that. I understand that we are now down to three paramedics. Is that correct, Chief? Yeah. I think that's dangerously low to me. I think you probably need six, maybe seven. And once again, as I said earlier, the number one obligation of the Mayor and Council is the protection and safety of the community. We're down to three paramedics. This is not a good thing. Chief, you want to comment on that, perhaps?
I can. To the radio, we got a report of a structure fire on the top of Laundry Hill. So, we are down to three paramedics right now, but we do have two personnel that are going to graduate in September, and we're looking forward to have them certified as paramedics. So that's going to help us with increasing our medics.
One other thing I was slightly interested in, would we possibly be hiring part-time paramedics that just to do inter-facility transport? Is that a possibility?
That is
I heard
true.
That through the grapevine. Somewhere.
Yeah, that is true. That's something we're working on. I'm working with the city manager on with the possibility of having a transfer crew that'll be able to capture the facility transfers, and then they would be more like a part-time position, so you're not paying any benefits and stuff to them.
Yeah.
So we could do that at a lower level, and it would potentially decrease our overtime.
And one other point that I want to make, and I know we've spoken of it before, the interfacility transports in particular, I know there's two sides to an ambulance service. One is trying to save somebody's life or getting them taken care of an injury or an illness. But there is also, and what we have to look at, there's a business side to it. And the interfacility transports generates revenue to our general fund. And am I correct?
Yes, sir, you are.
Thank you.
You are.
And so I do want to make that point. And I want to commend the chief under a difficult situation once again in doing this particular staff item budget here. Thank you. One other quick comment. We're moving along fairly rapidly. We got hung up on a couple of issues. How far does the council want to proceed tonight is the question. How long do you want to go? 7:30? That'll be 2 hours.
I'd like to get to where Ms. Bono stated we needed to get to, or at least go through the things we needed to think about. No?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. There's information that you need to receive. I would like, we need to complete, if we can, sir, the general fund, and I think we're pretty close. The longest topics I thought were going to be police and fire, and we just completed those. And I'd like to look at the very next one. I believe it's the grants or visitor yes. center because it impacts some decisions. So if we could just do that, I think these will go pretty quick, sir.
Sure.
And then Mr. Johnson will give you his recommendation.
All right. So under city magistrate, as you'll see here, the cost is essentially the same. Last year we budgeted $48,000. FY 2016, we're budgeting $48,000. Now, one of the things I want to point out to you, and I apologize, I don't have a hard number because one has not been identified yet. Cochise County is in the process of wanting to renegotiate our court consolidation agreements. I'm cautious, and I'm expecting the contract services amount to increase as it relates to our court system. And so that's not something to really hit your head on right now. That's something that'll be discussed during our next budget cycle. But I just wanted to throw that out to give you somewhat of a heads up that next year we may see some increases in our court costs. So
do you have an indication of how much that might be? Like 10,000 more?
It may double. It may triple. But I don't want to. I can't. They've not given us a hard number that we can use as of right now. So I'm very reluctant to really say one way or other exactly what that number is. But
Mayor? Yeah. Council Member
Thank
Connors.
You, Mayor. Who does the rate raising?
Oh, the court consolidation agreements that all the cities in Cochise County have with Cochise County to operate the court systems.
Is it? They just it comes from on high, or is there any kind of negotiations?
There's no negotiations.
There's conversation more so than it is negotiation. I would dare say.
The county is, from what I understand, and they've redone the numbers, and I've been talking to somebody. We are responsible for the misdemeanors in our community, and the county has to fund the felonies. So all the court costs that are associated with the misdemeanors and offset by the fines will be the cost that the county is going to request from us.
So there is a, there's a number. I mean, there's a...
There's a quantitative number. Yeah. They're looking at their costs. And I guess the county budget is really in hard shape. Somebody said something.
Yeah.
So they're really dedicating, looking at, you know, the city's paying for their portion. So we just, everybody has to, you know, be diligent and make sure that they're just not passing off costs or vice versa to us. Our system is really cheap. We're really lucky, $48,000 to run a court.
Councilmember Klein?
Well, yes, when we went to the consolidation, it was to save a significant amount of money. But if it doubles or triples, are we looking at possibly bringing our City Mag back under our fold, or?
I think the county would entertain it, or we can, as a body, we can say, look, you know, if in the event that it is increasing, you know, does it make more sense for us to have our own court system once again? And so that's certainly a position for you all to take, and at the appropriate time when the agreements are all fleshed out and we have something, I have something tangible to bring to you all. I would certainly recommend considering it.
Because then we could also reap the fines.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say that they're going to offset the fines. They have to show us the fines. And they just sent out some spreadsheets. I didn't do a deep evaluation because of where we're at. It just happened in the last 2 weeks that I was aware of it. But, yeah, the fines will be applied because that's the first thing we ask. Well, where's the money going when there's fines? So it'll be scrutinized and
when this
picked
was
apart.
When this change was made circa 06 or so, the projected savings for the city was around $70,000 because there was two secretaries and a judge, a city magistrate. So it, as Councilmember Klein indicated, it's getting to the point now that's almost equal, and it might go beyond of having our own city magistrate. So somewhere down the line, this council or the next council might want to take that up and think about that.
Okay.
Moving on.
On the cemetery, last year we budgeted $9,318. This year we're budgeting $9,318, so no change there. Under building maintenance, last year we budgeted $45,450. This year we're budgeting $44,950, a $500 reduction in the overall budget. The one area that we did see an increase is a request for more funds for DOC workers. And so I think we've certainly seen how much of a benefit they've been based on the skill set that a number of the men that assist us are providing to our community. All right. Public Works, admin. And the salaries, I'll just point out here the very first line item. Last year we budgeted $77,027, and this year we're budgeting $66,351 for a difference, a decrease of $10,676. And the reason why is because looking at restructuring our wastewater plant, I've asked and worked with Tom to have Andy take up more responsibility as it relates to overseeing the significant portion of function of the wastewater department. And so by doing that, it's part of his job description already, and so now he has an opportunity to really jump in, restructure, reorganize, and oversee many of the functions. And we've already reaped a significant amount of benefit in the, I'll certainly say, the morale out of the plant. Also, looking at it from an efficiency standpoint, Andy now has the collections department. They're housed out of the out of city garage. And so as you realize the amount of savings, about 10 miles or so, that you're realizing savings on a week-to-week-to-week basis. You know, and so certainly, you know, Tom has been quite a guiding force in helping Andy kind of fill his way out in the area of wastewater. And that's why you see that reduction there. So overall, in public works, admin personnel costs, we budgeted $106,619. And this year we're budgeting $90,021, a reduction of $16,594. And as we jump down, the department did go through, and you see quite a bit, a number of reductions across that particular line item, and it actually equated to about $11,465 in savings. So last year we budgeted $141,158, and this year we're budgeting $113,095. So overall, our savings for year over year is total is $28,000 between revenues and expenses is $28,063.
Nice.
Public Works Garage. Last year we budgeted $59,301. This year we budgeted $57,951, and so we saw some decreases in insurance and employee-related expenses. So no significant changes there. Total for Public Works Garage on the expenditure side, we budgeted $106,013. This year we're budgeting $99,673, a reduction in $6,340. We realized some IT costs that weren't being utilized. Also, training and development areas where we probably won't use some funds in there, just to give you guys an idea of why we saw a reduction in the public works in the garage. But there's only one person that's there, and Flavio, he does a great job for us. Under building inspector, this year in salaries, we saw an increase from $36,046 to $39,749, a differential of $3,703, and in part because Joe has done a great job. He received both his commercial and his residential certifications, and so we're very, very proud of him. He worked extraordinarily hard in getting those certifications knocked out, so I'm very proud of him. So overall, the personnel budget, we saw that increase from $52,619 to $55,964, total differential on the positive side, $3,345. So overall, on the expenditure side, so $59,119 was budgeted on last year, and this year we're budgeting $62,614. Parks. Here we didn't really see very much change, if you will, on the personnel side. Last year we budgeted $92,354. This year we're budgeting $90,169, so a reduction in $2,185 savings. And so once we jump down, just to point out, in the DOC worker line item, we did see an increase, a requested increase of $6,000 from $3,000 to $9,000. Again, just trying to utilize that resource, absolutely cheap labor that we can tap into to try to get some improvements on our parks budget. And one thing I wanted to point out is in the recreational programs, special events line item, the line item number is 46801. That's where we program the purchase of the projector, the large film projector for our movies in the park. So, you know, at some point last year, the council approved a budget to purchase the lights up on Main Street. And so this year we'd like to see, and hopefully we can move forward with the acquisition of that projector for our community. It certainly proved to be a great event on last year.
I just have one question. Do we have an operating lawnmower?
We do have an operating lawnmower. There was an issue with the radiator in the trailer. So we do have an operating lawnmower.
Is it sufficient for the parks?
If you ask me, I would say no. But I really do think that there's some opportunities there to maybe upgrade that equipment. But like we did with the quality used equipment that we're looking to acquire at Eagle Asphalt, we can certainly look to identify quality used equipment for, you know, specifically a lawnmower that we can use. As you know, the DOC workers there, weed eating, the Vista,
right.
Not necessarily as efficient unless you just want to work them that day, but that's pretty much what you're mentioning.
I thought we bought.
Would that come out of this account? Would that be out of the parks?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we have one, but we actually purchased a.
Wasn't
a
it the one that we yeah, and then the trailer
and
has
the trailer.
To pull.
And so the tractor is now the issue. Is now the issue. Right. If I'm not mistaken, is what.
Yeah. How old that?
70s.
We have the tractor from the airport.
That we used. And what year was that?
That would have been 2010.
No, there's an older one that they use.
The old ones.
Yeah,
in the
40s, it's 60s or 70s, if I'm not. And so that's the piece. Yeah, and so that's what we have. And so Andy, he's certainly been haranguing him about that lawnmower. I just think we can realize some opportunities here. So, so total parts, FY 2015, we budgeted $171,247. This year we're proposing $175,062, a differential of $3,815.
I have one quick question. I want to speak for some people that couldn't make it here tonight, the DOC workers. And what I'm curious about is I believe they make 50 cents an hour.
Yes.
Now, I don't know this issue real well. Is that state mandated?
No, it's not state mandated. I think the higher skilled, I think we pick and choose. Andy would have to share that with us, but I know that there's others that make more money, but not a whole lot more.
Not a whole lot less either.
Right. You know, and we're very conscientious of our DOC workers in many, many ways. The gentlemen do not get paid until we pay them, so there's a real push to get them to make sure the paperwork is processed and payments made to them timely, because if we lag for any reason whatsoever, they don't get their 50 cents an hour to do what they need to do while, you know, to buy at the prison store or however that works. So
I just threw this out to the council. You may or may not want to think about moving that up or leaving it where it is, whatever you think. But I think about it now and then, and certainly doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't teach the work ethic very well. 50 cents an hour.
I
understand their predicament, and a lot of them are just happy to get out.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that the warden consistently says is that them having an opportunity to get out and do stuff, it's a significant benefit, not just to the worker, but also the prison itself. And so that's one of the ancillary benefits that, quite frankly, I think we are probably providing. I know Andy, he works his guys and the ladies here at City Hall certainly work our guys. And as you've seen downstairs, we have a wood shop downstairs, and one of the higher skilled DOC workers worked on during the budget process, he worked on the screens at the library. And so, again, it's certainly, a benefit to them.
One final comment will go to Councilmember Dowdy. I understand there's like a waiting list for them to get out even at 50 cents an hour, but it's more about getting out.
Does DLC set their hourly wage, or do we do that?
And I believe it's DLC. Ms. Moss, I'm not sure if you're aware of that. It's DLC. And one of the things that I've heard from the DLC workers is they wish they could come out 5 days a week, but we only do it 4 days because 10-hour days to haul them to and from, it's my understanding.
They work hard, and they're so polite.
Yes.
Is there a way we can give them more money?
No, I think we're good where we are.
We're okay.
Maybe we can get permission to
buy a cake at the end of the year or something.
Yeah.
I make them brownies.
We still have to have permission first. And so,
well, anyway, I brought that up because it kind of bothers me sometimes, especially in August when they're out there cutting weeds and 50 cents an hour. Anyway. I guess we'll move on.
Okay. In the swimming pool, you'll see here, last year we budgeted $18,700. This year we're budgeting $18,700. And so later, during our conversation, we'll talk about some of the needs associated with the swimming pool. We certainly, it's a great community asset, and we want to do everything we can to try to keep it open.
All right. Councilmember Connors?
Can we take a break?
We certainly can. Without objection from the council, how about a 7 to 10 minute recess? The meeting back to order. I think we left off. We was ready to go into the Copper Queen Library. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. thank you, Mayor. Library. So last year, we on personnel side, we budgeted $133,650. This year, pretty much staying right along the same lines, $134,350, a slight increase of $700. Total library budget last year was $202,263. This year, we budgeted $205,163. Now, one of the things, just as a point of clarity for me, I want to get more information as it relates to last year's budget. You all had set aside or budgeted about $17,000 for improvements at the library. And so I know there was conversation about it being either for the HVAC system or kind of some of the building improvements. And so just for my own education, I would like a little bit more direction from council as to which way you all want to see that money applied.
Questions or comments from the council? Councilmember Hansen.
For this year, for the money?
For this upcoming year.
Do we have a list of projects that we can?
Specifically, it's addressing the HVAC system or improvements on the, because I know the cornices, what is it called? The cornices on the exterior of the building are failing. And there were some other issues, like, for example, during the summer months when the air conditioning is on, the type of system that it is, the floor is buckling. That has since been addressed, but there's some other improvements that needed to be made to the building. So I just really wanted to get more clarity as to which direction you all were leaning in. And Peg, if you want to, you know, jump in, if you had any thoughts, I mean, you're more than welcome to jump in here.
May I, Mayor?
Councilmember Hansen.
Wasn't there a problem with water coming in from the rain? And that there was a problem with the humidity and the effect it was having on the books and computers and so on in the library?
Yes, good evening, Mayor and Council. The two projects, as stated, are the upgrading of the HVAC system, which is currently a swamp cooler model, to an air conditioning model, which would substantially reduce the amount of humidity in the building. And the humidity is a factor because it does affect the floors. It does affect the books. The books swell. A primary concern also is that in high humidity, high temperature environments, public access computers as well as staff computers can be adversely affected. So that was one of the driving forces toward moving from the swamp cooler system to the chiller, the air conditioning system. The pricing that we received for replacing the HVAC system with something that was just a kind of a newer version of a swamp cooler actually turned out to be more expensive than replacing it with a chiller system. So that was one of the questions that we had. And the other question is that originally we were talking about building improvements in terms of the exterior of the building, cornices and cracks in the facade in various places. And so when we had these two separate projects sort of competing with one another, We just wondered for our own purposes of clarity if the council had any opinions about where the priority should lie.
I would think that we wanted to concentrate on the cooling system so that we aren't destroying the books and the computers that we have. There are no physical leaks, though. For some reason, I was thinking that there were leaks.
Well,
there
was. At one point, we did have roof leakage. I believe that we have addressed that issue and it's been resolved. However, I'll wait until June or July before I can state unequivocally that we have no more leaks. Monsoon will
Council Member comments.
Thank you, Mayor. Hey, Peg, when you got a bid on HVAC, air conditioning, did the contractor by any chance offer or suggest an audit to see where all the air-conditioned air is going to go? You know, with all the leaks and the double-hung windows and the efficiency of the building itself, you know. And my only concern would be just leaking out.
Well, Councilman Connors, that's a really...
of putting this in, saving it, and you know.
That's a really great question, and that topic did come up. And one of the statements that was made was that, well, it doesn't really matter whether you have swamp cooling or whether you have AC. If you have double-hung windows, it will leak regardless, and it will just be more efficient when you have the swamp cooler gone and the AC actually providing the chilled air.
Which one will cost more on the energy end, though? Is it going to cost more to air condition the building or to do it with evaporative cooling? I mean, there's more to it than just simply that. You know, we can continue down an efficiency audit on the building, and you know, and it's more than just double hung windows. They're certainly the biggest violators, but mm-hmm. The age of double hung windows. You know, because I have double hung windows in my house, but
and
they're all
so
new.
Do I.
They're all new, so they're not.
Well, there are actually ways that double-hung windows can be retrofitted so that you don't lose the historic nature of the window.
Right.
And so that's something that we could talk about as well down the line. But in terms of the expense for running the system, I would say that considering the number of repairs that we have on an annual basis for, we've got two swamp coolers, one runs the second floor and one runs the third floor. And every year we've got motors or pulleys or something, piping, that needs to be repaired. And when you add those ongoing problems, along with the possibility of leaking from the swamp cooler through the ceiling down to the third floor and repairing the roof as a result of that, I would say that over time, because of the efficiency of AC, although I don't have actuarial figures in front of me, it seems by looking at the figures I do have, I would say that running the chiller, the AC, would actually be more cost-effective for us. And it would certainly have the corollary benefits of improving the environment in the library such that all of the materials that we have and all of the computers that we have and all of the hardwood maple flooring and the walnut trim that's in there would not be adversely affected by the high humidity of the swamp cooler systems.
Thanks, Mayor.
Any other questions from the council?
Did
Excuse
you get
me.
An answer?
No. I'll be honest.
It'll
no.
come. It'll come, though.
Okay. Next slide. Okay. All right. Senior Center. Last year, we budgeted FY 2015, $24,257. This year, we're budgeting $23,457, a decrease of $800. Contingency, per law we're required to have contingency money set aside. Last year we budgeted $100,000. This year we're budgeting
$100,000.
And
skipping
the next slide.
Right to the visitor center.
Visitor Center. As has already been discussed, and I'll just point this. I'm sorry.
It's slide number 32.
Mr. Collins, do you have
it? I'm okay. I didn't have the contingency, but that's, we're past it. It was 100 grand. It's the same as it was.
So. Okay.
It was right below the senior center. I put them both on the same page. So.
Okay. It's inside the box. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm thinking outside the box.
I got you. As always. Visitor Center. One of the things that you'll see here in the third line item highlighted in orange, transfer from the general fund 1% tax increase. This is where you see those funds allocated. So due from, this is the due to the Visitor Center, $35,090. And that's why you have that increase of that differential of 35,090, which is a projected 1% increase. And so on the revenue side, last year we budgeted $155,900. This year we're budgeting $149,000. At middle section, Visitor Center personnel cost, last year we budgeted $72,185,000. This year we're budgeting $64,380, a differential of $7,805. The business travel, total expenses, last year we budgeted $155,900. This year we're budgeting $149,095, a difference of
$6,805. Mayor, I have a question.
Councilmember Hansen.
What on the very first line it says use of reserves. What reserves are we talking about?
Use of reserves is fund balance. Is at the end of the year, what happens is whatever's left over. That was the gap from what we thought was the revenue, because we had to, as you'll see, there's transfers in there. Last year we did 47 budget use of reserves. This year's down to 1205.
Okay. Thank you.
And if we don't go into there, when we hired, when the council approved the part-time position out there, there was not enough funding available in Visitor Center. But they approved it anyway, so it went forward. So that's part of what sets that into the red. And then at the end of the year, transfers are made to offset that. If over the years they don't build up, then transfers are made. That's one of the reasons I've dedicated that 1% line, because that cannot be used for that purpose. That can only be used for what the voters approved it to be used for, and we're going to try to just.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Councilmember Dunn.
Where is the money for the redesign of the website?
That was an IT.
That's an IT. The Discover Bisbee is under IT?
Discover Bisbee would be, it's under.
I think we just went with the flat.
Under contract services. Under contract services.
Yeah, 13,750. You don't see a change in the numbers, I believe, from last year.
Mm-hmm. Certainly that's a major initiative this year.
Yeah, under contract services.
Just one question on that. Was that a part of the 1 cent bed tax sales increase? Was that designated for that, or was that designated for Bisbee as an overnight destination? You maybe even explain that to me. I don't know.
Same thing, isn't it?
No.
Is that the same? No.
Yeah, this is Discover Bisbee, and that's Destination Bisbee. Is that what you mean?
No. No. Let's back. My understanding was it's 1% sales tax. Increase didn't have a topic on it. It was to promote overnight stay. So whether that qualifies, I mean, we can have workshops to identify those guidelines, but what, you know, constitutes us promoting overnight stay? A lot of things can. So I think from Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, and I did go back and ask, because a question was raised, hey, look, you know, can that money be used to redesign a Visitor Center website? And I did ask our city attorney that particular question, and it boils down to, right, how is it designed? Not the how and what it looks like, but what does it say? And so you'll see many communities that, you know, eat, stay, whatever, but it depends on how it's actually designed. And so through the proposal process, it's you know, specific. The goal of the website redesign is to promote Bisbee as an overnight destination. So when you come and you stay and you spend a night, what are you doing while you're here?
Okay.
And so, and I did try to get that clarification from the city attorney, and that's what he said. You know, it's all depending on how it's designed, and so you specify that during the proposal process.
Okay. So therefore, I suppose we could put a hot air balloon up with a big letters, stay here overnight.
Yeah,
I guess that
that's what you
want
to do.
Yep,
yeah,
as long as it conforms to the wishes of our voters. Yeah. And I can always add another line. It doesn't have to be budgeted dollars, but when some decisions are made, I'll figure out how to track that, because I'm going to be the one that's going to be asked year after year after year. So I'll make sure that it's very clear.
And where is the money? What's the money amount is dedicated to that?
Well, it's going to be up, and if you go up to the revenue that we have highlighted,
Mr.
Dunn.
Yes.
That 35, that's...
Well,
that's
I know that, but in terms of expenditures.
Well, when we make them, it'll have a zero budget, but expenditures in it, and it can't exceed that $35,000.
Right, I know that.
Right.
I was looking at in terms of the expenditures there. I don't see the line item that.
Well, it's just
covered.
It's group together.
And if you have that expenditure, we can always create that additional
line item
specifically, and so we have the revenue piece.
Right.
So it's just accounting for what exactly the thing is, and what are we going to label or call that particular line item. And so, I mean, we can do whatever. You create the account code and you identify the line item itself, so it's not.
So it's grouped in, the whole expenditure, Mr. Dunn, is grouped in the expenses. So when we decide, when council and Mr. Johnson decides how they're going to allocate, what they're going to really use the dollars for and do other than just the website, I will create another line. And you will see it with a zero budget, with expenditures in it. Then when we budget next year, we'll have a feel for what we're doing and where we're going. But at this point, since the sales tax kicked in a little late, you're going to be getting the budget from Ms. Coronado, I think it was $14,000, that went in to this account. We just got some numbers. And then it'll be a lot clearer too. But I can add them. We don't have to put budget there. It could be zero budget and just apply against something up at the top. Because remember, you can't spend it if you don't get it. So if we don't get $35,000 in that 1% increase, we only get 20. We're only going to spend 20 for the overnight destination portion. And if the decision is made to spend the rest of Visitor Center's money the way that they choose to do, then that's fine too. But I just have to prove that 1%.
A clarification for the public. This is, we're talking about the bed tax, what we're talking
yeah.
about. One other thing, I don't know much about creating websites. $25,000 to create a website, is that normal? I mean, I don't know. Whether maybe it costs more, maybe it costs less. I don't know.
It's a range. I mean, you get what you pay for sometimes. I mean, you can have a website redesigned for $5,000. You can have a website designed for $80,000. So it's really all dependent upon who you choose and who your designer is, and so there's a great range on how much it would actually cost to redesign a particular website. Like I said, I mean.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? No.
All right. And
so this is our one more streets, because I want to show how the money comes into streets from the general fund.
Okay. All right, you can go ahead.
Okay, as you're looking at the top on streets, it's the same concept here, okay? You'll see that 21 transfer from general fund sales tax. That's going to be the 1% off outside of the HERF dollars that we receive. The HERF will go automatically in there, and then we will take 1%. So as we're developing the budget, we're dreaming. You know, hi, Andy wanted a million here and a million there, and I said, no, we have to be realistic. We have to get a good number. So the other two numbers that are highlighted down, I just kind of took the difference and applied it, okay? So I know that at the point that we were doing this, I knew that that you had approved the purchase of the used equipment.
So it really depends. Those two can offset. The budget within itself can offset, so we could spend more on street repair material instead of contracted. If we can find, if Public Works decides to go full force ahead. So that's basically what I wanted to show you. The other thing that I'll just mention on this is we have a part-time position in here that is not budgeted, but we wanted it to be approved by council, so if we find ourselves in a window and they can go out and pave a lot of streets, that we can hire one part-time person to help, and that's what that line item is there. The other thing is, of course, the electric increase for the streetlights is pretty big, too. So that's pretty much that in a nutshell. It's just getting the numbers, and once again, we can only spend what we collect in that one line.
Let me clarify this somewhat for public consumption. We're going to get, I believe it's $405,000 estimated from the HERF funds this year.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And, of course, we can only project at this point in time how much the 1 cent increase in the sales tax, which took effect March 1st.
Correct.
Yeah. I just threw a ballpark figure out there because they look like that particular sales tax is maybe down a little bit. So can we expect for that 1 cent about $600,000? Is that a fair figure?
Well, I took the 1%. Yeah, that would be fair. That might be a little low. You know,
okay.
The 760 we were talking about in prior conversations was being projected on hitting the 2 million mark because we came really close last year.
Right.
So we were hopeful. So it is down, and that number is changing. The projections that we gave you tonight for the city sales tax, what that we think what was really real is like 1.8, you know, it's going to be a little bit short.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it'll be as low as 6, but I was hoping for more, sir.
I think we'll have some money to work with. Not a whole lot, even though it looks like about a million, but some salaries are paid out of it as well, and material and equipment. And last council session, which I think was a good move, we have acquired some equipment for approximately about $130,000, so that should, in a sense, save us a lot. We'll be able to do a lot more. That's just my take on it.
Exactly, and so you're able to purchase more material. We already have the labor, have the equipment, now everything else that's left is material.
I don't want to commend the city manager and public works director, et cetera. I think that was a very good move, and Ms. Buono. Councilmember Klein.
Just a question along that line. You said that we have a part-time streets position in here?
Yes, but it's not budgeted. It's kind of like the chief of police. It's listed on the form here. If you look at it, right now we have two streets operators, but we want to be able to pick up a part-time one. If everything works out, the money's coming in, and Andy can do it, we think, I guess there's a short window of time, maybe.
Yeah, the idea was, in the event that we certainly have to account for vacations and things of that nature. In the event that we're working on a specific road project and the amount of time or the level of effort may be a little bit higher, we could essentially go out and through Sierra Vista personnel or somewhere like that and hire a part-time person to come help us out and work for a 3-day period of time. We are working on a flexible work schedule, so Monday and Fridays, the heaviest, I'm assuming the heaviest days that we'd be paving would be Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, or contingent upon the project, allow them to adjust the work to accommodate schedules for the employees. But with the dedicated sales tax, use those funds from the dedicated sales tax for this particular project to pull from to bring in some part-time help. No more than 20 hours a week, perhaps, on occasion, not permanently.
Okay, well, then my question was going to be, if we could reduce some of this electric cost, couldn't we maybe add it to that part-time and make it a full-time, since we did go out and get some nice equipment, and you kind of need, I think, skilled personnel to run that equipment rather than have them just learn on, job training.
That's a great idea. I won't say we put the cart before the horse, but by way of the particular company that we were looking at, he obviously had employees, and so we've
kind of fished around as it relates to the skill sets of those employees and say, hey, look, what's your interest? In the event we get to this point and you all bless the budget and say, look, all right, we can move forward with hiring somebody part-time, or we reduce the electric cost and we can bring somebody in here full-time, all right, now we're starting to make ourselves whole because we have that dedicated revenue source for this particular purpose. And so to your point of reducing that electric cost, is that the
those are street lights. We just did those agreements with APS, and that's a pretty hard number, I believe, because they I don't think there's much flexibility. We did discuss that. Mr. Klimek is here, and we had talked about some kind of project, but we really need to know the true count of how many streetlights we really have out there. We have a high number. An evaluation needs to be done. Maybe we can turn some off.
Well, that I was going to bring that up, because we have one in our neighborhood that's on 24 hours a day, all during the day and all during the night. Never shuts off.
Wow. Okay. That's that's a university project.
Yeah,
I was hoping for urban development or something.
Yes, and Sharon has been very emphatic about trying to get an outside resource to come and help us with that specific project, to do a streetlight inventory study to come in. And all you're doing is pretty much count streetlights. You come in the daytime to identify how many streetlights are burning in the daytime, and you come back when the lights come on. All right, now you're doing your count, and you split it up in groups of three, and all you're doing is count streetlights. It seems like a remedial project, but there's a great deal of financial savings that can be realized by doing that type of inventory. So, all right. And that is it for the general fund. And so everything else, special revenue funds, things of that nature, RICO funds, we can actually hit those tomorrow, if that's okay with you all. Are we doing this tomorrow? Yeah, okay. Now, one of the things I wanted to, you have, and this isn't, what is it, green paper? This isn't necessarily the gold paper. That's me pinning some thoughts. It's not a memo to council or anything like that. I'm just putting my thoughts on paper. But just so you have an idea of what in the world I'm talking about, I just wanted to put something together. As you know, our financial outlook is challenged, and so, on the revenue side, we've seen some significant decreases, quite a bit in the area of sales tax. And so one of the things that we were looking at during this budget process, we, in order to balance the budget, we're going to have to tap into our reserve fund. And to the tune of what's in your documents is about $590,000. Going forward, I think if we, put our collective heads together and we just kind of look at things as they are, there certainly isn't any indication that things are going to dramatically change by next year. With that said, Sharon and I and the staff, we talked about it. One of the things that we would certainly look at to, from a revenue generation standpoint and a cost containment standpoint, one of the recommendations that I have on here is to entertain furlough days. All right, I had Ms. Moss go out and do some research on other communities throughout Arizona, identify their furlough program, and our closest neighbor is the city of Benson, and they've been on a furlough day schedule for the last 2 years. And so, and I say that to say, we did some research, and Sharon had her staff go out and do an analysis on what that actually means. And so the idea, with the thought of, hey, look, we're going to have to tap into our reserve fund, $599,000, roughly. And so in order to maintain a three-month operating expense, it's pretty standard, no matter what community you go in throughout the country. In the event that something happens, we have to be able to maintain those operating expenses. And so for us, that amount is $1.5 million. If we tap into those revenue funds, and again, these are projected numbers, at the end of the day, we'd be looking at $1,080,000 left in our reserve fund. We cannot continue to go down this path, and it's really unfortunate that we are here, but we are. And so I'm only bringing solutions and ideas and recommendations for you all to consider. And so that the recommendation of looking at staff furlough days sort of looks kind of looks like this, right? As we talked about things and we talked about the furlough days, what does it look like if all employees participated? And so on the second page that you have here, under the by the numbers schedule, in the general fund, so that $4 million, I apologize, there are no dollar signs on here, but that's a dollar amount and not just the number of hours worked collectively. In the general fund, if all employees in the general fund, do you have a slide?
No, I didn't put it.
You don't. It's not. Okay.
Well, I can have it on slide tomorrow. For sure.
Okay. In the general fund, looking at visitor center, street department. As it stands right now, let me back up. In the general fund, right now the total number, our expenses are $4,592,274. Thank you. I'm sorry. In the event that all employees in the general fund take 80 hours of furlough days, 2 weeks, the differential would be $151,608. In the visitor center, as it stands right now, our normal working hours, which is based on 28 to 2,080 hours per year, that'd be, and that's, as it stands right now, $64,381. In the event that all employees in the visitor center take 80 hours of furlough days, that would bring to $62,238, a difference of $2,143. In streets, all the employees working 28 to 2,080 hours, $111,355. If all those employees take 80 hours, $107,827, a difference of $3,528. So as we look at just the governmental funds, right here where it says Gov Funds, right in the middle, that $4,768,010. In the event that all the employees in the governmental funds take 80 hours of furlough days, that would bring us down to $4,610,731, a difference of total of $157,000 that we realize in savings on the personnel expense side. Now, the other piece of this is wastewater, sanitation, and clean mine. And I'll just hit this, and I'll give you my rationale for how we've been thinking on this thing. In the wastewater department, as it stands right now, normal working hours, $505,207. In the event those employees take 80 hours of furlough days, that would be $490,731, a savings of $14,476. In sanitation, $403,955. Normal working hours, if we do 80 hours of furlough days, $390,616, a difference of $13,339. Queen Mine Tour, normal working hours, $400,143. For normal working hours, 80 hours of furloughs, $386,084, which is a savings of $14,059. Now, if all employees in all these general fund, clean mine, visitor center, sanitation were to take 80 hours of furlough days, we'd be looking at a savings of $199,153. Now, with that said, the employees within wastewater, sanitation, and clean mine, in the event they were to take a furlough day, any furlough days, there's an impact, and that impact is obviously. On the wastewater side, the wastewater plant has to be manned 7 days a week, and so I recognize that there is some savings, but I think the impact of not having or having employees take furlough days in that particular division would be a pretty significant impact to the health, welfare, and safety of our water system, and so I certainly wouldn't make that recommendation. In sanitation, trash has to be picked up, and we, especially with the level of effort that's warranted in Old Bisbee, I know Andy has said, hey, look, if it comes to that, then we can possibly look at how our pickup schedules are on those particular days as a point of consideration. In the Queen Mine, the reality is that's a big enterprise for us. And so in the event that we aren't running tours, we're not making money. People aren't in a gift shop, we're not making money. And so with that said, I certainly, no matter what option, this is just a point of discussion, I hope we can pick up tomorrow. I certainly would want to see us take advantage of or look at having employees in those particular enterprises participate for the reasons that I've stated. Now, the other piece of this is another idea that we talked about, and the mayor and I, we talked very briefly about it. Another option or consideration would be, all right, employees that make in excess of $45,000 take 80 hours, and employees that make less than $45,000 take 40 hours or five days. And so just for the sake of the public that's here, just to walk you through, in the general fund, again, at $4,592,000, in the general fund, the impact in doing the 80-40 split, that would be $4,482,829, a difference of $109,445. In the visitor center, right now we're $64,381. The 80-40 split, $63,110, a difference of $1,271. Streets, $111,355. 80-40 split, $109,488, a difference of $1,867. All governmental funds, $4,768,010. 80-40 split, our expenditure will be $4,655, $427, a difference or a savings to our reserve fund of $112,583. Now, just for the sake of conversation, in the wastewater department, 505-207, normal working hours, 2080. 80-40 split, that number would drop to $495,541, a difference of $9,666. Sanitation, $403,955, normal working hours. 80-40 split, $395,966, a difference of $7,989. Queen Mine, $400,143, normal working hours. 80-40 split, $388,647, a difference of $11,496. Total, 80-40 split, $141,734 would be a projected savings if we were to roll out or implement that program to include the enterprise funds. And so, in my mind, I think to try to mitigate the impact, in the event that you all would consider furlough days, looking at it from the months of June to October and picking up from January to May, to minimize the impact on employees during the holiday season, and it's going to be an impact regardless. We've also talked about, as another option, shutting down city operations 10 days over the course of the year to really realize savings. If you shut down City Hall one day, you're only going to realize about $700 in utility costs and energy costs. So there's no true impact. But I think that if you roll things all together in a lump sum and you kind of spread it. Now, all this has to be fleshed out and worked out. These are just ideas that we're throwing out. There's an impact to level of service. But I think balancing it based on wages, that 80-40 split, in my mind, I think it's a way in which we can somewhat soften the blow. Now, some employees have said, hey, I volunteer to take a furlough day. And the mayor and I have talked about, as opposed to having it like this, having a volunteer, you know, furlough day. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that, unless we ask, I'm not sure how many employees would volunteer to participate to give up that amount of time. I'm not sure. We can certainly have that conversation and welcome to have that conversation with the employees to give them an opportunity to voice their opinions, concerns. But realistically, we cannot continue to go down the path where we're heading because we're just completely decimating our reserve funds. And so I really would like to, and hopefully we can realize some opportunities to help hold back that tide that's approaching. So that's one recommendation, if you will. Another consideration on the revenue generation side, kind of switching gears a little bit. As we discussed tonight at length, and as you've discussed in many, many, many times over again, is our interfacility transfer program. As it stands right now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe we turned over the last 2 years, turned over about 300 or so interfacility transfers. I apologize, I can't think of the number right now. And what I mean by transfers, Arizona Ambulance takes those when we can't get them. As opposed to letting that money, quote, walk out the door, the chief and I and Captain Burnlight, and we've had a number of discussions with, again, Palomino's Fire District. And one of the things that we're looking at and identifying, and I really do, and I've talked to the city attorney about it, it's partnering with them through an intergovernmental agreement that they will entertain they'll buy an ambulance. As it relates to the interfacility transfers that we cannot take, they will pick up that interfacility transfer and we split the cost. In my mind, some money is better than no money. And I do realize that in today's day and age, collaboration is the name of the game. I feel very strongly about it. I realize that sometimes it can be a challenge to implement. But quite frankly, I'm at a place, I feel like it would be irresponsible of me not to engage or look at or try my best to identify ways in which we can collaborate with our neighbors to try to realize savings, cost reductions, things of that nature. If that is something you all would like to consider, I do plan to bring something before you in the coming month, I would say, to try to get the program rolled out. As we've heard, we've lost a paramedic. We're down. And so why not capitalize on a resource that's sitting right next to us? I've already stated, kind of switching gears again, kind of stated that the wastewater department has done a good job in what they've done in identifying efficiencies in their respective departments by way of moving the operations to the city garage. And quite frankly, in talking to some of the department heads, and they really understand where we are and have really come to the table. And this is a very, quite frankly, hard conversation to sit here and have with each of you. It's very hard, and none of us have taken any of these recommendations lightly. But here's where we are. And so, you know, with that said, I'd certainly entertain discussions. I mean, again, these are just ideas that I've, that we put together, that we've thrown out to try. We cannot continue on the pace where we are with the current realities that we have.
I agree with what the city manager is saying. We cannot continue, so we have to come up with ideas. It may not be, it's a sacrifice what we have to make is what it is. So the furlough idea, the city manager and I have been discussing that for some time, actually. And it goes anywhere from a voluntary program to a program of the 10-5 program that we discussed. But council needs to think about this. We are in serious dire straits, quite frankly. The reserve fund will run out in a matter of another 2 years if we continue at this pace. There will be no reserves, and your municipal government will essentially shut down is what will happen. So we have to do intense things right now. I think the voluntary furlough is good. How many people would be interested in that? I don't know. The city manager was telling me that in previous places that he's been, they might initially kind of oppose it, but after a while, if it's 5 days a year, they like it. They get that extra day off, maybe on a Friday. But this is a decision that the council maybe come up with some alternative ideas on this. I think it is something we definitely need to look into, or your municipal government finances are going to come to an end in just a few years from now, not very long. So council input is imperative, what you think, what we need to do. So any other comments or questions from the council? This is serious stuff we're talking. We're talking about wages of working class people. But if we do not come up with some other solutions, those jobs will disappear. They won't have a job at all. That's the way I see it. So we need to look at this very seriously. The interfacility transfer is an interesting program. It's a revenue generator. We need to buttress that and support that, I believe. So these are the questions before this council, and maybe the most intense, serious budget in the last 25 years of this municipal government. There's no doubt about that in my mind whatsoever. And so the community and the employees are going to have to support some changes that are being made. It's my thought that I believe that Benson has furloughs. Is it 3 days a month? Is that what it is?
At one point, they were up to 20 days a year.
20 days a year.
And since I believe they scaled it back.
That was 10 days in 2014 and 10 days in 2019.
Okay. I'm sure that other municipal governments are also doing that, or at least looking into it like we are. There is financial distress in hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of cities across America, including my hometown to a certain degree in Ohio. This is not something that just affects us. It's affecting state governments, county governments, and municipal governments all over this country. And so we have to look to solutions, and obviously there's going to have to be a certain amount of sacrifice to be made. And how we go about it and the plan that we come up will be up to the council. It's what you think and what you think we need to do to preserve our municipal government.
Mayor.
Councilmember Dunn.
It was interesting when we had the session on insurance. I guess one of the figures indicate we're down to 77 employees is what the statement was at that time. And it wasn't that long ago, 2006, we had 126 employees. How can we continue to provide this level of service and keep cutting our workforce? Certainly when we had our first budget session, I outlined several ideas in terms of how we could increase revenue, tax revenue. I think if we're going to have a special election, we need to present those different concepts to people and citizens, and we need feedback in terms of what level of service do you want and are you willing to pay for. And if citizens are not willing to pay for a level of service, then we need to make some hard decisions accordingly. I certainly would like to see, unfortunately, the state has really restricted what can be in terms of our ability to increase property tax. But I somehow would like to get more property tax in terms of support of our fire department. We have a number of people who live here, who have homes here that we provide fire protection to, but are not necessarily living here very much of the year in terms of contributing to sales tax and so forth. This is certainly something that should be very appropriate in terms of using a larger amount of reference on property tax to fund our fire department, and whether that means going to a special fire district. One of my proposals was a special fire district that would be formed in turn to subcontract with our existing fire department to provide service. It would allow us to go beyond what our current coverage is in terms of serving some of the San Jose and other geographic areas. Again, I'm just brainstorming. But I would like to do more brainstorming in terms of what can we do to increase revenue. And if we have the best police department in the state, but people aren't willing to pay for it and fund it, well, then we need to start making some hard decisions.
Mayor? Councilmember Connors.
Are you done, Doug? Thanks.
Hi.
So this $599,600,000 deficit is after all of the department heads that this proposed, their proposed budget is including all of the cuts that they've already, seen and realized. So we still have to find $600,000, mm-hmm. or try to. And this is going to affect, 150,000, so, a quarter of what recommendation one. So we still have, you know, 75% of that $600,000 that we need to whittle away at.
Right? Yes, sir.
And the way I interpret it, okay.
Right. What we'll do, same thing I did last year, is we can identify some of the things in the budget that are there that we think we will or will not spend. Mm-hmm. But it's prudent to budget for. Mm-hmm. So we can identify some of those. Last year I had an account position all year long that went vacant. But I knew that we needed the money and the animal shelter coordinator to offset that, so that position was not filled. I had a short-term part-timer come in and do some work. Lisa retired from here 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and had her help me with special projects, which was the Arizona offset and the liens, and we're also working on the following up with the Arizona Department of Revenue to collect on the residential taxes and bed taxes that we think are not being claimed. It takes a body to do that, and to me that's very important. I call it the fair share campaign. You know, back from D-Day, D would always get up there and say, you know, everybody needs to pay their fair share. So that's what we're doing, and it's going to take a part-time person to do that, but that is something we've already gotten over $20,000 from the Arizona offset. Identified several properties that we're going to send up. We can go more in depth into this later. But, you know, there are revenue streams, and we've all talked about it, all department heads. I have some wonderful ideas. I know that Chief Achavi does, too, let alone Mr. Justin. So, but it's a long night. But, you know, we can do it. We can increase our revenue, but we can't really cut our expenses according to budget.
And as we go forward, over the next couple of months, I am certainly willing to throw out every, and maybe it's a special session that we plan in the next couple of months to identify organizationally, all right, how do we retool? How do we reorganize? What level of service can we realistically provide for the residents of our community with what money we have at our disposal? And so I'm more than happy to take that task because I don't feel like we are in a position. I'm not in the position, nor am I willing to or interested in kicking the can down the road. I hate to call it front. It is what it is. And I'm at a place, the department heads and the leadership within this organization are at a place. They're ready to identify because it's hard to look employees in the face in every department, and they have the degree and look of uncertainty with where they work. That's something difficult for employees to work under. So being able to retool, restructure, and having to deal with that uncertainty once at this point in time, knowing that, hey, look, we all have skin in the game, and we're trying to identify and develop a plan moving forward. Okay, let's go ahead and do it. And so that's where I am, and if it is the pleasure of Mayor and Council, some of the ideas that you all have had, I'm absolutely more than welcome and willing to, honestly, I mean, to take on that task. Again, I'm appreciative of this opportunity, but again, it's a difficult conversation to have, quite frankly.
Let me clarify one thing. The serious budget that we're having, it's not because of anything that staff did or council did or the employees of the city did or the public for that matter. It came down in two particular areas. It came down to a massive increase in the PRS, and also somewhat of a reduced sales tax revenue. And so this is where the problem lies, and hopefully that can be remedied as well. But we have to deal with what's before us right now. We have to deal with trying to reduce tapping into the reserve funds as much as it looks like we're going to have to at this point. So, Council, you might want to talk to constituents or whatnot and get ideas of somehow that we can reduce this. The furlough idea is interesting in the sense, especially it was voluntary, and a lot of times people are resistant to change, but I understand those employees may need that day to pay the rent or put clothes on their children's back. I understand that as well. So it's a difficult, difficult decision, but we have to make that this year. We have to make that decision this year. It's vitally important. Any other questions or comments from the council?
I have a question.
Council Member Dowdy.
Have you talked to the employees about the furlough?
No, ma'am.
Not yet?
No, ma'am. I wanted to just run it by you all first because I don't want...
Okay.
I certainly want the employees coming to you all with something that you have not heard. So aside from Sharon and Ashley and a few other department heads, you all are the first to hear.
I just wonder if it would pose a hardship on any of them.
I would dare say it would.
Some of them.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
There is a couple ways that it can be structured, healthy ways. I know Benson, they had their furloughs, and then they revisited it. If we want to do an analysis and do it like they did, do half the first half of the year, see where we're at, council make the decision. If we find ourselves in a situation that it's not necessary, there's nothing to prevent us from stopping the furloughs. But it's really only one way to reduce that reserve. Mm-hmm. And it's a hardship for everybody, but if they can plan and we can figure it out and do all this other stuff, we can do whatever we need to do to relieve the burden as much as we can.
Yeah, I appreciate those comments. So they could be, the furlough days could be arranged in a sense that would might benefit that employee, like a week before a two-week vacation perhaps, or every one Friday every month, so you have a three-day weekend. So sometimes in life... negatives can have a positive there too. I wish it could be voluntary and a lot of employees would participate, but the council is this one idea that they should think about over the next few weeks, of course. We need to make serious decisions. It's a difficult time for us. And any other quotes or questions or remarks from the council? Would you say that we are pretty much finished for tonight, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is adjourned.